Week, Gravel with the girls of Night Trap, their horror and suspense by revisiting Sega's most realistic, horrifying, and controversial titles of the FMV generation. This is just one grip of tonight's show, and there's plenty more to come right now in the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 684 for this April the 30th of 2017. And big thank you to being back this week. Sorry, guys, we missed last week unexpectedly. I hate canceling shows at the last minute the day of, but I got really sick. In fact, you might still hear it in my sinuses a little bit. Blah, being sick is awful. But my name is Rob Roberts, and I'm here joining you with my co-hosts here in Studio N7 in Sacramento, California, over the next few hours to talk about video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle. Say hello first off to Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Hi.
Hi. Happy birthday, a little belated. Last week, we missed your birthday show.
I'm old. Where's my presents?
So I feel bad for that. Your presence is being the gifted with our presence. No, Alan and I owe you a fancy schmancy dinner.
Don't worry about it. I'm just
we want
a brat.
To. It'll be fun.
Okay, fine.
But how'd you celebrate no show last week? Did you get to catch up on some games? Did you beat Andromeda yet?
Oh, I beat Andromeda before that.
Congrats.
I'm doing another playthrough right now. I'm trying 100%.
Of course.
Except I had to go back and catch up on the WoW content because I went flying.
Oh, yeah. They had a patch at some point recently, right?
A big patch.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, it's pretty big lore stuff if you've been a lore fiend.
Sure.
But I'll talk about that in what was I playing?
Sounds good.
I didn't really do much. I just stayed at home in my pajamas.
That's right. I needed to rest, too. It happens sometimes.
Well, my work schedule has split days off, so I don't really feel like I get any real rest. Mm. And so I needed the break. Today I slept until 2. It was great.
Rock star.
But for my birthday, I decided I wanted a fairy garden.
A fairy garden?
A fairy garden.
Like Navi the fairy in Zelda?
No, it's...
Hey, listen.
It's basically a thing where you just make like a little... in a like kind of like a... maybe a... a foot diameter pot, and you make just like a little fairy house with a yard and trees made out of succulents and stupid shit like that.
I've never heard. All
and
right.
Next thing you know, you have growing frog fractions 3 in the bottom.
Well, hello, Techmaster Loki. How are you?
I'm fine.
I know all I heard was that she's growing pot, but there was something else about that, about fairies and stuff, but that's all right. How are you, Techmaster Loki?
I'm fine.
Did you have a good week off unexpectedly last week?
Yeah, I went and saw The Fate of the Furious.
Oh, how was that?
It was just a totally random movie to pick because I've literally only watched the first two Fast and the Furious movies.
Uh-huh.
And so like I'm totally out of the Fast and the Furious universe as far as it's concerned. It's actually pretty good. I was very surprised. I thought like, geez, by like was it the 8th movie now, it can't be that good. It was pretty entertaining. I mean, it's not an intelligent movie, but it was good for what I expected it to be, a good popcorn movie, and I enjoyed it. I was very surprised.
That's good. I rarely get to the movies anymore, but I mentioned a few weeks ago I saw Power Rangers. So it was just kind of random
for me,
I mean, you know, considering a really good friend of mine
I wanted to see Ghost in the Shell, but apparently I waited too long for that, so that's all out of... They had like one showing at 10 o'clock at night that day. I was like...
It flopped pretty bad, so...
I know, but I still wanted to see it.
They got rid of it.
Oh, hi, Alan. How are you? Everybody's being horrible tonight at waiting for their introductions. Hi, Alan. How are you?
Hello.
Hi. You're going to join us here for a little bit at the beginning.
Yes.
There's a reason. I'll get to that in a minute.
The Ghost in the Shell actually was like a big smash in Japan.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Well, look, we can talk about movies, but it is a show about video games. In fact, we have some new faces tonight, and I'm sure that's thanks to our guest. Yes, Zircon is going to be joining us in about 20 minutes or so. It is a 3-hour show, if you guys didn't know. So he'll be joining us for a little bit to talk a little bit about Tangle Deep, and of course we'll ask about some of his other projects. And of course, you guys can ask your questions, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. So hello, I know we have some new faces in chat tonight. This is your first time at OLR. Hello, welcome. Thanks for being here. Believe it or not, this show has been on the air since the year 2002, when we started as three friends all playing, get this, Dance Dance Revolution. And even though we got a little old and our body parts gave out, so we don't play as much DDR anymore, we still talk about video games because that was the thing you do. You go play DDR, then you go meet at the diner across the street, have some mozzarella sticks because that's the healthy thing to eat after you play DDR, right? And then talk smack
about
video games.
But it's fine because back then we were burning enough calories where it didn't matter.
I was never skinnier in my life than those years during DDR. So I'll always be thankful for that and the fact that it gave us this show. So, yeah, this show might almost be as long as Zircon's music career. I've got to figure out. I'm not sure what year he started with the Overclock Remix stuff. I gotta ask about that. But I remember in the early days of OLR, you were a fan. You brought a lot of the Overclock Remix stuff to OLR,
yeah.
Loki. So when you heard he was coming on tonight, you were excited. I'm excited.
Well, I had backed his last, I don't know if his last Kickstarter, but one of his Kickstarters, his last, I have a couple albums from his. I've bought a few of his albums. I don't know. I've listened to a lot of it, so.
Well, let's go to our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com where I see William Murderface saying, does anyone play DDR that much anymore? I mean, I feel like it's going through a little bit of a renaissance right now. Like, there was a few years where it was, like, deader than a doornail. But then I think because of Round 1, Dave and Buster's, and some of these other life... Well, I don't think it ever died in Japan. But over maybe it dipped. But, like, you know, I think it's kind of, like, has a renaissance now. Like, I definitely see, like, more people are into it than it seemed were into it, oh, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago or so. So, anyway, I do want to shift gears here a little bit because Alan is joining us here at the top of the show, and
the whole DDR thing, yes.
Yeah.
Well, for me, you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is spongy and bruised.
Wow. All right. Look, Alan is joining us here at the top of the show because you went on an interesting shopping adventure this week, and I want to talk a little bit about this because it is about it's a shopping story, but it's about video games, right, Alan?
Yes.
Okay, what happened? What did you do? You woke up early Monday morning.
So the previous weekend and maybe the week leading up to it, Cheap Ass Gamer and a bunch of other sites like Polygon and Kotaku ran a story that said that Best Buy was getting. Factually, they were getting some Nintendo Classic consoles on Monday, which would have been the 22nd. I have no concept of time. Whatever Monday was. So, of course, as we all know, the whole lifespan of this product has been sort of a shit show. Supply issues. It's been hacked. There's no interface on it for them to update the firmware on it. There's no storefront on it, which was mistake number one. And I guess the manufacturing costs have gone up, so Nintendo's just like washing their hands of it. So it's become a collector's item because it's only been around for like what? November?
4 months.
Hot second.
So I was like, all right, I will go to Best Buy early in the morning to see if I can get one of these suckers. So I get there.
For those that don't know, Alan is my husband. So Alan was like, even though in the beginning I was like, I don't want one. I don't need one. These are ridiculous. The minute now it's like, oh, well, if you don't get one now, you're never getting one. Then I was like, maybe I should get one. Maybe
there's a dozen better ways to play NES ROMs than a Nintendo Classic that don't involve the short ass cable and this, that, and the other.
Right.
So it was more about the game of getting one.
Yeah, it's a thing. Yes.
It's like, yeah, it's like the parents on some Mad Max shit in the parking lot at Toys R Us trying to get a Tickle Me Elmo. Their kid doesn't even like Elmo. They just want to be able to say that they're the parent that they got one.
They're the mom of the year.
They're like, I got tooth marks on my elbow from where I clocked some bitch, but I got my Tickle Me Elmo.
Did you clock a bitch, Alan?
No, I did not.
Okay.
So I show up. I get up kind of – I wanted to get there at 8 a.m. I was not about to camp overnight. This isn't a console launch. So I get there at around 8:30. You were sick, so I was trying to surprise you with a...
That's true. I missed last week's show, and I was still sick on Monday morning. I had to call out of work.
So I was like, this will make you feel better.
Yes.
So I got up real early for me, because I work evenings and nights. Get there around 8:30. I'm roughly the 30th person in line, like 30 or 31. And I see as I'm pulling up that there's obviously a line of people, 30 people. And I was like... I guess I'll hang out and see how many they get because I thought they were going to get like three. So I get there at 8:30. People are kind of – it's not that cold. People are talking in line. at around...
Was everybody in line talking about, reminiscing about Nintendo and their fondness for classic
NES system? Some of them, and some of them were sharing consoles, like I lasted this for the PS3.
Okay, see, I thought that... Okay, I got that surprise, because I thought the honest joke was going to be, I don't know, I'm here to buy one, sell it on eBay. What's a Nintendo?
Well, I'm getting to that.
Sorry. Excuse me. I'll just have a seat over here.
No, so the people that were in the part of the line that I was in was social, and everyone was buried into their phones. It was kind of cold, whatever. So this one guy pulls up, a customer, is like, I just came from the Natomas one because the management, the Natomas Best Buy, because the manager did the vouchers earlier, and they got 7. So already I'm the 31st person in line, and I'm hearing Natomas, this is like at 9:15, got 7. Best Buy opens at 10. So the guy drove from Natomas to here to see if we would get more, because it's the Arden Best Buy is like the Best Buy in Sacramento.
Right. It's like
so
the
we're,
one. Yeah.
I mean, Sacramento is kind of lame, but we're sort of a metropolitan area.
We're the capital
area.
Of the biggest state. It's no.
It's nothing to be sniffed at.
We have a basketball team. They're terrible, but we have a team.
So finally, it's like 9:45, and finally the manager comes out with a little helper and a security guard. He's like, all right, I've got these vouchers here. They are going to be first come, first serve. I'm going to start here by the door, front of the line. We have 24 NES Classics. So being person number 31, I'm already shit out of luck. Okay, so that's really where the story should end. But as soon as the manager handed out those 24 slips, the first 5 people in line who clearly had camped out, like they had lawn chairs and stuff, so they were in it to win it, immediately started to hustle their vouchers as soon as the manager was out of earshot and was trying to flip the voucher.
But on the Best Buy premises.
On the Best Buy premises, right in front of the store. And I was like, what happened to the good old days? We're like, if they just bought their shit and then tried to flip it on Craigslist or on eBay, that's their business because they bought the product. But I had a problem with the fact that one, they were doing it right as soon as the manager had left. And it's like, you still have to buy the thing. And they're trying to sell this paper. I couldn't tell if this guy was joking, but one guy was like, for the low, low price of $300. And it's like, this thing costs $80. Like, go to hell.
$60.
So they were basically going up and down the line, like, don't leave. I got here if you want to buy it. Da, da, da. So I'm like, all right. So the first 5 consoles are basically like a wash. Like, someone could, and again, in a weird way, it's like, do I respect the hustle of them trying? Because, I mean, Nintendo created this fucking problem, and they're just trying to make a buck off of it. I mean, Best Buy, of course, I'll get to this in a minute, does have some responsibility, but it was lame. And I did see one dude finally. I'm skipping ahead. So when people in line were like, "Nah, dude, like we missed, like we're not buying the voucher from you," they then started to approach people coming up like 5 minutes to the store, saying, "Hey, are you here for the next NES Classic?" Because who shows up at 9:59?
So they were gonna respect the line for their hustle. As they were moving down the line, but then they were going to turn.
As customers who had not waited in line were like, "Are you here for the NES Classic?" Yeah. Well, here's this piece of paper, and you already missed your chance. So they were basically trying to do their sales pitch to people that had not waited in line and had no idea what was going on, which is kind of weird to have to like run through this gauntlet of dudes just to get into the store. To get there right when they opened, maybe they didn't want an NES Classic, but these people said they did, and they immediately got this sales pitch. So lame. Finally,
so you saw them sell one.
Yes, I did see one dude hand a bunch of 20s to a guy. I don't know if it was $80 or 160. I don't know. I just saw wallet open and a piece of paper exchange hands. So I'm like, okay, well, there's a sucker right there.
Let me move things forward here a little bit because we do have an interview coming up tonight. But did anybody complain to Best Buy about the fact that these guys are hustling on the premises? Didn't
so
even, like, go to the park. You know,
I went to the car, updated you, updated Twitter. Was like, and then but by this point everyone from, you know, person number 25 onwards had pretty much left because it was the 24 people that got the vouchers, and I was like, you know what, I wonder if these people trying to sell their shit, maybe they'll wash out, maybe they won't find anyone, maybe they'll leave, maybe maybe someone's credit card will get declined. So I'm gonna stick it out and just wait for the damn doors to open, which at this point was only like 10 more minutes. I'm going to get in line and see what happens. So doors open. We all rush in. And there's this mom who got there like 5 minutes to 10. And I sort of, she was like, are you thinking about buying one of the papers? I'm like, I don't have cash on me. And even if I did, I'm not supporting their BS. So we are all in line. I'm sort of waiting to hear if someone is going to flake out. And the manager comes up and says, these vouchers are good until 1 p.m. So if you leave the property, the owner of that piece of paper can buy the product through 1 p.m. If 1 p.m. comes and goes and all of those 24 vouchers are not accounted for, then they will do first come, first serve to the people there. And I was like, well, so now those, because three or four of those five guys that were trying to do the hustle had left.
Why until 1 o'clock? What is the pro-consumer reason?
3 hours. I don't know.
That you would let.
Why would you wait there
o'clock?
To get a voucher? That you're really, this is the vouchers right. to go buy something, and then come back. And, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not ready to buy this yet. Yeah. Then why are you in exactly. fucking line?
I mean, okay, I understand maybe if you have to run and use the ATM or something, like you got there early.
Okay, we'll give you till 11 then.
Exactly. Give them an hour or say, you know, fine. Now or that you're here.
They have an ATM in the goddamn
yeah.
store.
I mean, yeah.
And everybody uses cards these days anyway. But fine. If somebody has a big need like that, then fine. If you come back in 30 minutes, we'll hold this for you while you work out your banking issues. You know, fine. But that just encourages people to turn around and resell it. And that's so, the part of your story that really, like, irks me the most.
So
like,
the,
why does Best Buy have...
The mom that I had sort of made friends with was like, okay, so you're the manager. So I want to know what you're going to do about the people that are scalping the vouchers on your property. And the guy was like, people were reselling them? Yes, you would have seen that if you stuck around. Well, I mean... Our protocol is for any release like this is we hand out the vouchers. What people do with those vouchers is their business. If they're scalping them, mm-hmm. that's unfortunate, mm-hmm. but that is not okay. And it's like, all right, if they had one or two security guards at the front door that were like, okay, whatever you're doing, you're not doing it here. Go to Toys R Us,
yeah.
go to Burger King, yeah. go to...
'Cause the way you're putting it, that says to me Best Buy supports the scalping's culture, period.
Yeah.
And part of this problem that's being created is because of Best Buy
policies.
It's like
out of sight, out of mind. If you want to do your shady shit at the other end of the parking lot where it's not Best Buy property, then whatever. But they just weren't there. They didn't care. So finally, we're like, so they left. You're saying that it was unfortunate, but you have no control over scalping. What about the people that left? What's going to happen? He's like, well, if you're here waiting to see if someone's going to wash out on their sale, those vouchers are good until 1 p.m. So if you're here just to see if people can't get one, you have to come back at 1. So at that point, I was like, okay, so now I'm just wasting my time.
Yeah.
So then I left for real.
But yeah, that's...
So...
Let me read some comments in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. William Murderface says, what? Did they need to find a Bitcoin ATM or some shit? SG100 Matt says, what a shit show. Sounds like they made this up as they went along. Dungeon Buster says, I feel less guilty visiting one and then ordering what I want from Amazon. Let's see. Dungeon Buster says, you can make a few Raspberry Pi versions for $300, just saying. Yeah, but you know, sometimes
yeah, but it's just about the,
exactly.
the game of getting one.
Exactly.
And being person 31 out of 24, I already knew that that game was over for me, but it was watching the resulting shit show of how Best Buy didn't care about the scalpers and then also gave them a three-hour window to do their hustle.
And that's part of the reason why I wanted Alan to tell this story, because we're hearing a lot of speak from Nintendo this week about the whole, oh, there's limited resources. What's the line they've been given this week on why they've sold 2 million of them, but they're not doing any more because what?
We're only one company.
We're only one company.
We don't have unlimited resources.
Resources are limited. This is only supposed to be a holiday thing. Blah, blah, blah. Jamie's making a motion with her hands. Like, yeah, this is just like it's a lot of speak, and it sucks to hear things like this. And like, look, at the end of the day, oh well, we didn't get one. I don't. It's not about that. I don't care that we didn't get one and all that. If I really wanted one bad enough, I should have started fighting for one in the beginning. I accept that. But what sucks about this whole thing, and what I think really needs to be examined, is why is Best Buy's policies basically allowing scalping to happen?
Yeah. And
why are these? I mean. I can also understand that, you know, retailers don't give a fuck or whatever. They still get the money at the end of the day, blah, 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 blah. But I still think, you know, especially as one of our chatters put it, in this day and age where it's so easy where you can just turn your back on the retailer then and go to Amazon, don't you want a retailer that's going to fight for the consumer a little bit, so to speak? Like, I don't know. Doesn't that little bit of faith go a long way?
They just had to have the security guard who was taller than me and I'm 6'4", hang out front and be like, what are you guys doing? Don't do that here. And just kind of make it a little harder to scalp. And just the fact, again, if they had bought their shit and then flipped it in the parking lot, on Craigslist, on eBay, whatever, they bought the product, if they want to resell it to some sucker for $400, fine. But the fact that it was for a piece of paper where you still have to buy the actual product after you paid them for their extortion BS.
Let me read a few more comments here. Brad from Pod Culture says, flipping one is one thing. The fuckers that show like 10 in a damn eBay auction pick are the real bastards. Come on, Cupid Boy says, at the end of the day, Alan is still a great guy for trying to do something nice for his man. Yeah. I agree.
If I had gotten up at like, if I was there by 7 a.m. or 7:30, but again, I shouldn't have to go
don't play the
to a place at 7 a.m. for a retro console.
Those five guys should have been an issue. Bobby Blackwell says, my Best Buy screwed me out of a Pro controller because they wouldn't let me jump out of the pre-order line to get it and let someone who didn't pre-order behind me in line go to the register first. So they have some issues with their launch process. They also did vouchers for Switch. Pakratos, I hope I'm saying that right, in our chat room says, Nintendo is trolling at this point. Because we've got Zircon coming. But what you want to
add? Here's the quote. So the quote is, even with the extraordinary level of performance, we understand that people are frustrated about not being able to find the system. And for that, we really do apologize. But from our perspective, it's important to recognize where our future is and the key areas that we need to drive. We've got a lot going on right now. We don't have unlimited resources. That is fucking line of bullshit right there.
That was invented in a boardroom somewhere. Let me quickly ask this, because there's been a lot of increased rabble on the internet this week about the Super NES Mini. You know, at first that was the fanfic. Oh, the logical follow-up to the NES Mini is the Super NES Mini. That's what Nintendo's really going to do. And I don't, like, Eurogamer has a tip or something, and they've been, you know, they've been pretty spot on with Nintendo stuff.
But essentially,
there's a lot more rabble, where there's smoke, there's fire, etc., about Super Nintendo Mini is a thing happening this holiday. And there's a part of me that's like,
fuck them. I don't care.
Here's
what I think about your fucking NES Mini. I bought a fucking Raspberry Pi yesterday, so fuck you and your stupid Mini.
You want to know what?
Virtual console on Switch would be fine too, but
we told a friend to hold one for us, and we got one from our friend.
But
at GameStop.
Here's the thing, though. Yes, but you have to. Even that's a little, I don't want to say it's shady.
If you have
you have to know somebody.
If you have a hookup, then that applies to everything. Like,
and we wanted it for ourselves, not to sell.
It shouldn't be like fucking alcohol in the 1920s. Like, you have to know the secret password to stay at the front where they let you in the brothel.
At least no one's poisoning the machines.
Like, it shouldn't be like that. I don't understand.
I mean, I'm sure we got at least one Amiibo back when they were sort of fresh, ma'am, and relatively rare. They didn't have the third reprinting. We got some of the more coveted Amiibos through a hookup. I mean, that's just how that works if you know someone.
And please, don't give me this bullshit that, oh, I'm sure we don't have unlimited resources. Then how is it that other companies that manufacture probably in the same countries as you do not have these supply problems? Why is it that you're the only fucking company that consistently has supply problems? It's not because you don't have unlimited resources. It's because you're fucking incompetent.
I'm going to try to wrap up on this, and then I want to move on. But one thing I would like to see Nintendo do, I'm going to try to keep this constructive and happy and da-da-da-da-da. I would like to, in light of this story that we're hearing about how easy it is for scalpers to take advantage of what these retail channels are doing, I would like Nintendo, if they are going to do a Super Nintendo Mini, which is going to be... Now, that I really want, because the Super Nintendo is like my favorite system, as I think many of you probably feel the same way. I want to know, what is Nintendo going to do to hold retailers accountable for this scalping market? Look, I understand you can't prevent scalping 100%. Like, that's just capitalism.
People are always going to try and get one over.
Exactly. But what steps are you going to take to make it a lot fucking harder? Because what Alan is talking about was too easy. That's the long and the short of it. Anyway. Let's see. Go into chat for a few more comments here over at live.vognetwork.com. SC Mike says, all these limited resources do is just support pirating the ROMs and emulators, honestly. Yeah, we still don't have Virtual Console, which I would have thought could have been like their... They could have gone, oh, well, you know, we don't have any more NES Classic Minis. But guess what we're going to release on the Switch? for $29.99, we're going to have a NES Classic bundle that will turn your Switch into an NES Classic. And we're going to release a controller that will work with the Switch wirelessly. Like, would that have been the most difficult thing in the world to do?
But it's okay, you know, when they launch their online service, they'll have your free monthly rental of a game that, you know, game ROM that you get the for free or something like that. And you'll love it.
Okay, we're going to shift gears here because we are very excited here at Orange Lounge Radio to welcome... By the way, Alan, thank you very much for sitting
in. Bye, show.
I know you
went back to the office.
Got other stuff to do like work. But thank you for trying. I really appreciate it. Okay.
You're welcome.
As I was saying, we're very, very honored tonight to have a special guest joining us on the show. Has had a very, very long musical career through organizations like Overclocked Remix, and now is moving on into game development with developing and planning on releasing Tangle Deep a little later this year. We're going to get Zircon on the line, and he'll be joining us here, and I believe we have him on the line. Hey, Zircon, you there?
I am.
Hey, welcome to Orange Lounge Radio.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Hey, no problem. Well, I should start. First off, I have to say thank you very much. You guys may not know this, but behind the scenes, Zircon was actually scheduled to be here last week, and we had to reschedule because I got sick. So I really want to thank you up front for your flexibility. So,
oh, no problem at all, man.
Good guy, Zircon. how long have you been doing video game? We were talking about this at the opening of the show. You may not know this, but OLR has been around since 2002. We've been doing this show in different forms, and I was like, Zircon may still have beat us. How long have you been working in video games?
No, you beat me. You definitely beat me there. I started my first foray into remixing game music in 2003. Now, of course, that was as a rank amateur. no professional stuff. I think my first paid thing was 2004, and I got paid $15 for writing a song.
What was the game it was for?
Captain Genia on Shell Island, which you can still you can actually find Let's Plays of that on YouTube with like 50 views, but nonetheless.
Hey, that's awesome. That's awesome. If you guys have questions for Zircon, you can always check out our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. We will be asking some of those questions that you guys ask in our chat room too, Zircon, as we're going through this. So I want to congratulate you. Your Kickstarter, Tangle Deep, smashed the goal that you had set. How does it feel to now have the Kickstarter in your rearview mirror at this point?
Man, it's blowing my mind. It feels amazing that so many people are excited for the game and are as passionate for it as I am. And like, it's just even more motivation to seeing people play the game and the backers being excited about it and sending me their ideas is just, it's incredible.
And I should say, disclosure, I backed it. So just, you know, throwing that out there. But
thank you for that. Thank you.
No worries. But I just don't want people going, oh, ethics. So anyway, but I want to, for those that may not have heard of Tangle Deep, why don't you give us the little elevator pitch? What is it?
All right. I condensed this very short. Imagine if Squaresoft made a Final Fantasy themed dungeon crawler for the Super Nintendo. And that is Tangle Deep.
I like it.
That's the very short version. It's it's a PC and Mac game. I'm still working on it. It's in development now, so it's not out. But yeah, it's a dungeon crawler, very much inspired by a lot of my favorite games from the Super Nintendo, like Secret of Mana. And art style wise, you definitely see shades of like Chrono Trigger in there and games like that. But it's mixed with that sort of roguelike turn-based gameplay. So if you play stuff like Dungeons of Dreadmore or Crypt of the Necrodancer, minus the rhythmic part, you start to get a pretty good idea of what Tangle Deep is like.
I'm actually really glad you brought up Crypt of the Necrodancer yourself, because I wasn't sure if it would have been like, is this going to be offensive if I say, when I watched the trailer, I totally got a Crypt of the Necrodancer vibe off of it, but like a different style of game?
No, that game is just, it's incredible.
It is.
And actually, had the opportunity, I worked on it a little bit on the music side of things. I mixed the metal version of the soundtrack. So I had a little bit of a hand in it. And so I'm a little biased, but it really is an incredible game.
Now, what I thought was interesting about your Kickstarter, and what I see as a trend a little bit in 2017, or at least I say that because we just had some guys here on our last episode 2 weeks ago. They made a game called Little Tanks, and they did a very similar Kickstarter where they had already kind of done their game, and this was what you were doing, is that you were doing this game no matter what. Like, you've already poured yourself into this game. You're going to make this game happen. But you were going to Kickstarter to ask for money to basically put a layer of polish on it. Would that be the way to describe it?
Yeah, definitely.
So, and not only did you make what you asked for, but you made twice as much, which is allowing you, you're going to have these guest contributors now, like several guest musicians, right? And some more fluid art, right? What do we have to look forward to for all this money that's been raised on Kickstarter?
So one of the main things that I wanted to do going in was, of course, even though I write music myself, I was saying, gee, wouldn't it be awesome if I could actually get, as guest composers, people that I grew up listening to when I was playing games. So one of the composers was Hiroki Kikuta, who is Secret of Mana and Seiken Densetsu 3 are the notable ones from that Super Nintendo period. So he's going to be on board. And then as the Kickstarter was going on, and we hit the goal, and I was like, oh, I need some stretch goals now, because I didn't think it was going to exceed the goal, and certainly not that quickly. So Grant Kirkhope, who, you know, composed many of the rare soundtracks like GoldenEye and Donkey Kong 64, and he's been active ever since. But those two are going to be contributing as composers, and there's some other people that I can't announce it yet, but that are going to be coming on board. But then, yeah, on the art side, the animations, being able, like you said, to put another layer of just fluidity, like running animations for all the characters, because it's a surprising amount of work when you're doing all this like hand drawn sprite stuff. And the big difference between a sort of like an 8-bit style game, you know, like NES, and a 16-bit one, there's just way more colors. There's more sprite resolution. So like the one area of the game, for example, might be, you know, 1600 by 900 pixels or something like that, which doesn't sound like a lot. That's like one screen, right, on a like average size monitor. But then when you think every single one of those pixels is being drawn by hand, yeah, it's a huge amount of work. So that's what that money is going to do, is more polish for the game, like you said.
Awesome. Well, congratulations again. Obviously, there's a lot of enthusiasm for it. And if people want to check out the game, you just released your last public build today, right? So people can actually check this out in progress, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So the game that all the backers are playing right now, it's the same one that anybody can play, even if you didn't back it. If you go to tangledeep.com, there are links on there. And actually, the Kickstarter updates have generally been public, so you can also grab it from the Kickstarter page if you just search for Tangledeep. But yeah, going forward from here, I feel like we've now hit a little over 50% what I consider to be complete on the game. So a lot of the gameplay is there, a lot of the art is there, but at this point on, I feel like it's now starting to get to the point where you know, I want to think about getting it on like Steam Early Access, so that the people that do want to keep following it, but maybe they missed the Kickstarter, mm-hmm. but they were like kind of wanting to wait and see, you know. So, I mean, that was the big thing with the Kickstarter in general. The reason why I wanted to go on there when I already had like a year of work was, I think a lot of people rightfully feel like they've been burned on Kickstarter projects before.
Sure.
Like, I'm sure a lot of people have backed things that didn't turn out the way they wanted. You know, I definitely don't want to name any specific names, but there have been like even high profile projects that have just not panned out the way people wanted. So I figured, you know, I want to really show good faith, and not only here's a playable thing, but I'm going to keep updating it even after the Kickstarter ends, so people really get a sense of, you know, what this game is about and what it's like to play.
No, even in watching your pitch video, it seemed very clear to me that you knew like a lot of what makes people nervous about Kickstarters, and you kind of let your resume be out there and all that. I personally think you kind of hit all the right points where Kickstarter should be in 2017 as to why I should give you my money, and I think that speaks to probably why you did so well. So,
oh, thank you. Yeah, I hope that I definitely want to deliver on everything, and I feel like the best way to show, like, you know, you could have a million credits, but I mean, if you just like, you know, come up with either nothing at all, which has happened before on Kickstarter, stuff just doesn't come out. Or if you come up with something bad, like, I mean, that hurts everybody's faith in the whole platform. So, mm-hmm. right. You know, have something to show. I think that's just super important.
Let me take a big step back here and ask you a little bit about why did you, you know, you're very well known for the music that you've done, and you haven't just done like OC Remix, even though we've talked a lot about that. I mean, obviously that was a big part of your beginnings, but you went on to actually make music. I know you've done some work with Video Games Live and some of even the Kickstarters that they've done. I know Soul Calibur 5, you've worked with that, and you've worked with some big games. Why now from making music to making the game? What made you decide I want to go for something even bigger when it comes to the game? I want to do the game.
Man, it's just I've always wanted to do this. That's what it boils down to. Like, I've always been sort of a tech minded guy, I guess. Like a lot of gamers, honestly. I started out playing. You know, I got a Game Boy and I loved it. I got a, you know, Super Nintendo and I loved that. And, you know, just ever for as long as I can remember, I was just always interested in, you know, what would it be like to create my own game? And I never had the tools or the know-how to do it. I didn't apply myself to that, I guess. It was more fun for me to just sort of like write it down on paper, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And you know, I dabbled in some kind of like simple script-based stuff. So back in the day, we had, you know, IRC, if anybody remembers that.
Our chat room is actually still powered by MIRC, or IRC, basically. It's got a fancy...
Excellent.
Yeah. Some things haven't changed since 2002.
Yeah. OC Remix, I think the OC Remix Discord only, I think that was 2016. So like,
yeah. Everybody's telling us to change to Slack or Discord at this point, and I'm like, but I like the old one. It's not broken.
Yeah, oh, that was our point of view exactly. But you know, ever since those days, I always wanted to create something, and I have my parents. I think one of the things that sort of maybe pushed me a little was that, you know, my parents recently last year sold the house that I grew up in. They gave me a lot of my stuff that it kind of accumulated, right, that they held on to. And I just had like hundreds and hundreds of papers of all these game ideas and everything. And I just thought, you know what? I'm almost 30. I'm 29 right now. You know, I want to just take these steps. I want to do this thing that I've always wanted to do. And just looking back, I could physically see, like, you know, age 7, I'm actually looking in the corner of my eye. I have a book. It's titled Thinking Up and Drawing Monsters by Andrew Aversa. So it's this little like school project I did, I guess. But I've always wanted to do this. So I threw myself into it.
I'm hung up on something for a minute. You're only 29 and you started this a year after we started doing OLR. You were 16 when you had your first paid gig for music.
Technically, yes. And I remember my mom... said I couldn't sign the contract, so she signed it for me it was $15 per track for four tracks.
Gosh. So
like, yeah, I'm getting that $60. I can buy three quarters of Chrono Trigger.
No, that's that's amazing though. That's awesome. I was doing public access TV around that same age, so I get, and it led to this. So, you know, except I still don't get a dime for this, but that's all right. I want to ask a little bit about how you kind of got empowered a little bit more as a programmer, because I notice on your website you give tips for people that are interested in getting into music, and I love that. And, you know, one thing that I really love that has come up on the show a lot in the past year is that, you know, if you want to make a game, there's so many tools out there for people to go and do that. Just a month ago, we were talking about the indie arcade event here.
And try to do it before you have a family, because they really put a damper on everything.
Loki, there's a running gag where Loki has an unfinished game here, if you weren't aware. But anyway, so you really put together a guide about like, hey, if you want to get into like doing music, here's some ideas, here's some software and all that good stuff. But what did you do? What helped you cross over into programming?
So what I'll say is that, first of all, I'll feel like 100% more confident about answering anything like this once it's done, because it's like, even though I have like a playable thing, like, you know, I know I've done some things, but okay, I'll try to answer it anyway. One of the big things, and this is maybe just my personality, but like, I read a lot about getting into game development, and a lot of people were like, all right, well, you got to start out and you got to make like a simple game, you know, make Pong, make Space Invaders, you know, then make Pac-Man or something like that. And I kept reading that stuff and I just thought to myself, man, I don't want to do that. I just want to make the game that I want to make.
It's like
I don't
want
to, I want to skip everything.
Sorry. I was just, go ahead.
No, it was just like, the thought of having to kind of build up into it was just not appealing to me. And it was the same thing with music. Like, once I started making music on the computer, it was like, I want to make a Phantasy Star 4 remix. I'm just going to do it. And it was awful, but like, I just did it. And so I had sort of a concept in mind when I started out, and everything that I applied myself to in terms of learning, I'm using Unity, which is, of course, you know, very popular. It's probably like a third of games at least use Unity. I kind of focused on learning Unity within the framework of the specific game I wanted to make, which is probably not like the right way to do it necessarily, but it's extremely satisfying. It's very motivating. So, you know, I would say, okay, well, I know I want to have sprites. So how do I draw a sprite on the screen? Okay, got that. How do I make like something that the player can click on pop up on the screen? Because it's like, it's a role-playing game, so you need to have menus and stuff. Okay, got that. Next. So if I were kind of taking the approach of I need to learn everything about programming and Unity from the start, then I'd be learning all this stuff that I wouldn't necessarily apply to this project. So again, I'm not saying this is necessarily the right way to do it, but taking that like piece-by-piece approach and then just iterating over and over, like, okay, here's the game, here's a sprite, and now I can move it around. And now there's a monster, and now I can attack the monster, and now the monster moves around too. So like doing it step by step kept me motivated, and every, you know, I would just go online, look at a tutorial or something for the next feature that I wanted to do. And then also having like people that I could talk to that had Unity experience, and there are, you know, some great Discord chats for that. And then, you know, I have to thank also, there's a friend of mine, Jim Shepard, who I wrote music for his, for several of his games now. And he's just like a master programmer. He's got like a long history of AAA experience. And so to be able to talk to him too was a big help anytime I hit a wall, which of course I would, because I didn't like do it in the right order. So.
Well, you know, I've heard, and I'm sorry, I was kind of interrupting you a minute ago, but I was having a laugh because, you know, I've heard the whole, you know, you have to make Pac-Man, you have to make Pong thing as well. And I think that's probably how you have to do it for most people. But I think at the end of the day, you have to do what works for you. And I think, you know, even probably Loki would agree to this, which is why I'm laughing, because he almost said the exact same thing on the show not that long ago, is that, you know, I can't just do Pac-Man. I have to do what I want to do. And
yes.
Because it's boring. And it's not that it's, yes. it's necessary to finish something, but like I was even trying to teach myself the rest of like C# outside of Unity, because I kind of taught myself a little bit of C# for Unity, but I was like, I wonder how different it is outside of Unity. And it's so boring. I just don't want to do it.
Exactly. I mean, that's you know, it's different, I think, if you were doing it in like a structured environment, right? Like you're taking a class. I never took any classes in game development or anything like that. When you're teaching yourself, I mean, there's so much out there. I just feel like if you're going to devote, you know, your nights and weekends, which is what I was doing for a long time with Tangle Deep, is just like whatever, just little bit of free time I had. It's like, I want to show something for it. Like, I don't want to just spend my weekend on this and then like, hey, I made like a thing I didn't want to make. That's just the lowest amount of motivation you could have.
Well, you know, I understand your hesitation to talk about all the programming stuff when the game isn't out yet. But look, you've got something out there, and I don't think you're going to jinx yourself at all. I think people will be very happy with the finished product. So, you know, congratulations on what you've self-taught and, you know, otherwise learned through other people, networking with other people you've worked with before. I want to ask you about this before I get to some of our chatter questions, because we are, again, taking questions in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. And yeah, one of the backers is actually chiming in our chat room right now. Strixel says, backer chiming in that Tangle Deep, as is very good and fun. So there's a little reaffirmation for you.
Oh, thank you.
But what I wanted to point out, because I thought this was really cool, is that with the soundtracks and with the music, since that, you know, that was the bread and butter before game programming, you're going a two soundtrack approach with this thing. And you can actually check out on SoundCloud, you've got like modern regular orchestral soundtracks, but then you have Super Nintendo style sound. It's the same soundtrack, but then you kind of like redid it in a Super Nintendo music making program, right?
Yeah, so I don't know if my wife is listening to this right now. She might be. She's in the other room right now. So she can probably hear my side of the conversation if she's not actually tuned in. But so that's her, Jill, it's her idea, basically. I want to say that because my initial thought was I just wanted to do it Super Nintendo style. So that was actually like, you know, because I have such nostalgia for those games. And, you know, that happens, that's a product of, you know, my age and what I grew up playing. But, you know, she was kind of listening to what I wrote and saying, you know, she doesn't have the Super Nintendo nostalgia. Like, they had a Genesis. And so she was thinking, like, oh, I don't have any connection to these sounds. And a lot of other people don't. Like, anybody younger, they're not going to have the same connection. So she was like, you should take this and you should make it into a modern soundtrack. And at first I was like, oh, I don't know. It's like, it's going to be more work. But then when I actually tried it and took the sort of the main dungeon theme and I started doing it and I started adding, you know, some live parts in too. I was like, wow, actually, this really is a good idea. So I really have to thank her for that suggestion. And I'm going to do it for the whole soundtrack with the order of starting with the Super Nintendo stuff and doing it authentically like that, and it's all general MIDI. It's, you know, no fancy samples or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And then taking it and blowing it up into the modern production. So that's the workflow.
Well, Jill is listening. She's in chat, so we were able to give her a big hello there. But that's a neat story, because I would have assumed, for some reason, I mean, again, I would have assumed it went the other way around, that the modern was first and then it kind of like was deconstructed to Super Nintendo. But that's really interesting that it actually is the other way. That's really cool. So let me get to some of our, I know we're getting to our time here, but I want to get to a few listener questions over at live.vognetwork.com. Let me get to this question. I love this question from SSGO100 Matt, who asks, do you plan to come back and or perform at MAGFest?
I definitely am going to be at a MAGFest. I've been going for, I don't know, like 7 years now. And I don't normally do any kind of live performance stuff. It's usually not my thing, but Oceans Andrew, OA, who is a remixer on OCR and judge, and he's Overclock University is part of that as well. And it also, he happens to be the environmental and UI artist for Tangledeep, so it's just like a lot of connections to him. He has roped me into some sort of DJ set at MAGFest. Oh. So I don't know exactly what I'm going to be doing for that, but I will have a DJ set ready and I'll be doing something.
I will be sure to check it out. I actually, thanks to some of our listeners here at OLR, I got tuned on to going to MAGFest. I went for my second year this last January and I had a blast. Like it's just a great call. I flew from California to go. Like, I know we're getting our own version,
nice.
But it's not going to be the same. Like, I shouldn't say that. I really shouldn't say that. But it's not going to be the same as the DC one. You know, it's just, that's an amazing convention. I'm really...
I can't recommend it enough. It's so cool.
Yeah. And hopefully the West Coast one does get a lot of the same vibe. I shouldn't, you know, I definitely will go and check it out for sure. But there's something about the Prime site. Anyway, I want to go to another chat comment from Strixel here at live.vognetwork.com, who says, what drew you to roguelikes?
Oh, that's a great question. So, roguelikes, that's been a genre favorite of mine for a long time, because ever since Castle of the Winds on PC, I was just thinking about that because Jim Shepard, Dungeon Man's, who I just mentioned, that was an inspiration for him as well, like the Castle of the Winds, and that's been around for a long, long time. And I've always liked that genre because I guess I'm the kind of a person that will tend to like memorize and kind of play like a little more the optimal way if I can. So in other words, you know, if I play the same level a million times, you know, go for the fastest route, go for the best build, you know, I kind of just gravitate towards that. And roguelikes really make it much harder to do that because everything is, you know, it's procedurally generated. It's adding that extra layer of challenge. And it's always engaging because you can't just rely on memory every time. And because there's so much of it is randomly generated. So that is like the big thing that drew me into it ever since, you know, the days of Castle of the Winds, which I think you can play for free now, actually. And it's still a good game. It definitely doesn't look too good, but still a great game.
Yeah, I remember the original, like, actual Rogue. We had a car, I think it was a cartridge, maybe a disc on my Commodore 64. We had the actual game Rogue. I think Epix published it for a time there. And, you know, if you've never played, like, the original old school Rogue, it's still worth a look. You might kind of be turned off by the fact that it's like, oh, it's just like ASCII art. Like, there's no real, like, graphics. But, like, you see where that comes from. You know what I mean? Like, where all these other games have been birthed because of this classic. It's really something. So,
yeah.
Anyway, Zircon, I really want to thank you for taking the time out to be on our show this week. I want to wish you the best of luck with Tangle Deep and its release, which is targeted for December this year, right?
Yeah, I do not intend on missing that. I'm working very hard to make sure that we hit that. Everything is kind of like scoped and planned around it, and I went out of my way to make sure that with the Kickstarter, I was so tempted to say things like, you know, I'm going to do a world map, and I'm going to do, like, you know, 10 new features, but I got to stick to the scope that I have in mind so that it does not go over time and we get it out this year.
Well, yeah, you put your little project plan out there for everybody to look at on the Kickstarter, so I'm sure.
I did, and we'll see how badly I miss it.
Oh, stop. I'm sure it'll be fine. If people want to follow the progress, I know Twitter's a good spot. The game is at Tangle Deep Game is the Twitter that they can follow. Your personal Twitter, should I give that out too for following?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, at ZirconST.
Awesome. Any other websites or things we need to plug while you're here?
If you go to tangledeep.com, I don't have the link, I'll have it up there tonight, but we actually have a Discord chat, which is cool. We've got, you know, it's a general chat about the game. I post, like, builds and stuff. Sometimes I stream game development on Twitch, and there's also, like, a place where you can report bugs or talk about balance. So it's pretty active, actually. And Strix is in there, and it's cool. So if that link is not on the site, it will be soon.
All right. Awesome. Well, again, Zircon, I want to thank you for being on the show, and I'll be looking forward to Tangle Deep this December, and I'll be looking forward to MAGFest 2018 as well.
All right. All right. Sounds good. And thank you for having me.
Hey, no problem. You take care.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. That is Zircon from the game Tangle Deep, but also the long career of music making that goes all the way back to OC Remix and moving on to commercial releases like Soul Calibur 5. And I mean, the man's just done a lot when it comes to video game music. And now getting on the other end of the rest of the game development. I know he has some help, too. I didn't give him a chance to. Well, he shouted out one of his art guys, but I know there's two other people he's working with to make that game happen, and wishing them much success. And you guys will have to keep an eye on that and check out that game when it releases. All right. Well, speaking of checking out games, we like to, again, this is a 3-hour show, y'all. We still got some news to get into for the week. I want to get into, of course, though, a little bit about how are the games that you've been playing this week, as a little bit of a frame of the reference here at the top of the show. Dark Soccer, how was your gaming week?
It was moderately eventful. I've been playing, I beat during the last 2 weeks, I beat Mass Effect Andromeda. And I am on my second playthrough, aiming for 100% playthrough on that one. I went back to World of Warcraft since the new patch for Legion came out, and I've been a little disappointed with how few world quests there have been, because I'm really trying to get the revered for my faction so that I can fly. And so I'll finish the quest in like an hour and I'm like, okay, where's more? But there's one thing I can't do because it's a solo fight that's clearly something that should have been done for 5 people. So whatever. Other than that, Miitomo, Pokemon Go. Although I haven't been able to do a lot of walking with it since I'm supposed to be wearing a boot.
Das Boot.
A walking boot. It's called Das Boot. I told Dan the other day that I could probably smite my enemies with that boot.
Phantaz in our chat wants to know, is Mass Effect Andromeda worth 100%ing?
Yeah, I think it is. Because I missed quite a few things on my first playthrough that I kind of wish I'd gone back and gotten. There's actually even a few quests that I think you can't go back and do if you've missed them the first time around. Because I had the thing for them on my journal, but I couldn't find the points to do it. It just wasn't showing up on the map. So, and maybe they'll patch that again. The last patch actually did quite a bit, at least for the aesthetics of the game. There's some people who still walk kind of funny, but for the most part, it's been pretty good.
I've hit a weird like wall with Mass Effect Andromeda. Like I didn't beat it, and I've been, I don't want to say I'm like uninspired, but it's like I've just been allowing myself to get distracted with other games, and I'm like, I'll come back to Andromeda. It sounds like they have a few more things I kind of want to work on, so I'm not really in a rush to beat it. My only thing is I want to avoid spoilers, but I know you're good enough, you're not going to spoil it. Shane knows I'll kick his ass if he spoils it. So, you know, I'm just, otherwise, you know, I'm kind of like, I'll take my time, and I'll get around to beating it eventually when it's kind of all patched up. But I feel like I might have painted myself into a corner a little bit because I'm not getting any of the loyalty missions, and I'm understanding I'm kind of close to the end of the game.
Make sure that you select the journals for the characters, and it'll give you like what you're waiting on or what to do next. That really, really helped me because there's a lot of them that require a certain event to happen before the next string of the loyalty mission. And I did all the loyalty missions before doing the Archon ship mission.
Okay.
And it'll actually say Archon ship mission, so it's not a spoiler. But I did them all before that because I thought that was the big thing, and it wasn't the big thing.
Oh.
So, but you can get them done pretty quickly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I've actually done the Archon ship and still don't have them unlocked. So that's the thing that's
were Solarians involved?
Yes.
Okay, then you
yes,
did
they were. Yes, they were.
Okay. So yeah, so then you still have time to do them.
Interesting. Okay. I'll go back at some point, but I'll talk about my gaming week in a minute here. I've just been distracted with other stuff, and it's like Mass Effect Andromeda will be there tomorrow. I don't have to rush to beat it.
Yeah.
In a week.
I've got better. Oh, sorry. I've okay? got
Well, I'm you to sleep with my Mass
No,
Effect
I'm on allergy meds because of all the pollen and shit that's kicked in. But I will say this, that it's a lot easier now to make a decent looking character. I know why they did all the presets. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's because it affects the way that, you know, Daddy Ryder looks. But still.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if that's it for your gaming week, let me go to Loki. How was your gaming week?
Well, I played a few different things. I played a little bit more Skyrim. Not that much. I finished the quest line I was on, so that's done. And then played a little bit more of Thimbleweed Park, which is fun. It's like that old LucasArts adventure game style type of game because, you know, it's done by the people that did that. And I'm enjoying it. So that's pretty fun. And then I got sucked into another idle clicker game.
Oh, Jesus.
This one, I don't know. It's somewhat entertaining. It's pretty relaxing. It's Office Space, Idle Profits or something like that. It's based, you know, obviously it's a license from the movie, and the whole thing is,
oh, it's a legit, oh
yeah, cool. The whole thing is based off of just planting your virus in all the different floors in the building and you know, extracting pennies.
You know, I finally broke up with Clicker Heroes on PS4. Like, I'm done. And you know what did it? I spent 80 hero souls on accident by hitting the wrong damn button on a screen. And I was like, fuck this, I'm out. That's finally what shut it down for me.
I never really got into it.
You
I
can't
did...
undo what, that stuff like that. That pissed me off.
Yeah, I tried it a little bit, and I was just like, I'm not really into this. But, yeah, so I've been playing that a little bit. And then, of course, Pokemon Go, just the daily stuff. I hit 26 the other day.
Congrats.
Just playing, you know, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. I mean, I don't know, not that gung-ho into it, but... I'm not playing Ingress, so, you know, that it's something. And what else? Oh, I did pick up Everything, which is some weird, like, artsy game that has really bad animation for their animals. And I thought that was funny, and only because of that. And I actually did try to play. There's another game called Epic Battle Simulator that does not run on my computer at all. I tried to play it, and it's just like, my computer's like, what the fuck are you trying to do to me here? I can't run this shit. I'm too old. So... I was going to play that, though, because that's funny.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, meet.
All right. Is that it for your gaming week?
That's it.
Well, then I will talk about my gaming week here briefly. Yeah, like I said, I haven't been playing as much Mass Effect Andromeda. Still been playing, of course, Final Fantasy XIV. Here's the other game I randomly, just got back into, and that is playing Diablo 3, but specifically on PlayStation 4. Do you guys remember, like, 2.5 years ago, I think it was, I said, I'm going to platinum this damn game. And then, of course, because Rob can't ever, like, I have the worst gamer ADD in the world. I can't ever stick with one game. I never got around to platinuming it. Well, okay, I haven't platinumed it yet, but I'm really close. I have two trophies left to go. So I got my hardcore character to 70, and I picked up some other trophies that I needed. The last ones I have to get are get all six classes to level 70, which sounds hard, but once you get the experience gem from running Greater Rifts, it's and level it to 25, it's actually like my Crusader, I leveled to level 51 in like a night, so it's like super easy. Like, and when I say a night, I mean like an hour and a half. So that part's going to be easy. The 500 bounties is the part that's going to kill me because I'm only up to like 240 right now, maybe. So that's like not even half. So I just have to do bounties, bounties, and more bounties. But it looks like it's in reach. And so I actually will finally platinum this damn game, knock on wood, if I don't get distracted by something shiny in the next couple weeks. I will finally platinum this damn game about 3 years after I said I would. So there you go. Other games I checked out this week. I checked out Puyo Puyo Tetris, which is now on the Nintendo Switch, and that's where I checked this game out. I know it's been out on PS4 and some other places for a while. I was a little slower to get around to it. Plus, I wanted to, you know, I'd like the whole, it's on the TV. No, now I can play it in bed or wherever my Switch is. So, yeah, I mean, the story is, like, it's kind of non-existent. It's just, it's anime trash. And I'm not calling all anime trash. I'm saying this specifically is anime trash, but that's fine. Like sometimes you live for a bad movie. And I think some people are getting their memes and stuff off of this game and that's fine. There's a lot of silly stuff, but when it comes down to it, there's a very competent, just like base Tetris mode that you can play or a base Puyo Puyo mode that you can play. And it's like you get both those games in one package and it's cool. And yes, they did some interesting little things where they actually have a mode that involves Tetris blocks and Puyo Puyo at the same time. And it's like the blocks push through the Puyos. So you can kind of like you can cause a delay trick where the Puyos will come back. So it's like you're playing both games at the same time. It's complicated, but it's kind of fun. So I like that it's different, but that you can also just play Tetris or Puyo Puyo if you want.
When I got it for PlayStation 4, Dan and I would pick the Puyo side, he would pick the Tetris side.
Yeah, and you can do that. And you can still send each other lines and trash.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
I mean, we were pretty on equal footing because I used to be really good at Puyo Puyo. I'm out of practice, but it's a fun game. You know, I just was really surprised that they took so long to bring it out in the U.S.
Yeah.
It's been out like 3 years already, to my recollection.
Well, they don't do Puyo games very often here. I mean, yes,
we
I know.
We got quite a few of them.
Well, I know they did Kirby's Avalanche and all that stuff back in the day. But, I mean, Puyo Puyo games as Puyo Puyo.
We had Puyo Pop, which was Puyo Puyo.
We had the DS one, right?
And we had, there were a couple of other Puyo Puyo games that came out over here.
It just feels like we don't get as many as they do over there. But anyway.
We even got the little Puyolin, the little handheld LCD toy.
It's probably more prevalent now than it was 10 years ago. But anyway, I had a similar thing. I was playing actually online against a friend of mine who it can kind of murder people at Tetris. I was not ready for him getting like 7 Tetrises in a row. I shit you not. Like, he can do that. And I was like, oh, God. But when I was playing Puyo and he was playing Tetris, he's still learning Puyo, so he can't set up the chains in Puyo. Whereas I know enough to actually set up very basic 2 and 3 chains in Puyo. So we had a match that went on a little while. Still, he killed me because you just can't compete with somebody that can get Tetris after Tetris after Tetris. But it was still fun. And the online mode actually worked. So there's that. I've also been playing Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which just came out on the Switch a couple days ago. Since it just came out a couple days ago, excuse me, still getting over the cold. Since it just came out a couple days ago, I haven't had the chance to spend a lot of time with it. But I will just say this, it does look gorgeous on the Switch's like built-in screen. Like that little HD screen with the Switch is just like, it's like so bright and vibrant and pops. Like it's really cool. And I'm really looking forward to meeting up with some other people who have it so we can all kind of play Mario Kart in the wireless mode. So that'll be fun. So I'm hoping to also play a little bit after tonight's show, which to follow up this comment in chat, come on, Cupid Boy in chat says, Rob Roberts, why don't you Twitch much? For one, I kind of have to, like, when I do a Twitch, I don't want to just play the game. I want to be lively and talk about it and talk with people. And sometimes you kind of have to, you know, that takes a little bit of extrovertedness. And sometimes I just want to not have that for a night, so I don't always want to stream. But also, this is the other big reason. I really wanted to do some more streaming this past week, but then I got sick. So I've been sick for like the past, like, I'm not even kidding, week and a half. Like, it's just now finally leaving. So that's been a big stopper for that too. But I will be doing Mario Kart 8 tonight after the show at Twitch.tv/RobRoberts. So you can follow me over there. I will be doing that tonight as an OLR post show. So there's that. I guess that's really everything I wanted to talk about this week. I feel like there was one more game I wanted to mention, but I guess if I think of it later, I'll mention it later. But those have been the games that have been taking up most of my time. So, some quick housekeeping. There will be no show on June 25th, I think is the date. I'm trying to remember what Sunday is near there. I'm actually going to be out of town. I realize, I'm well aware that falls right around the anniversary of Orange Lounge Radio. We will be celebrating 15 years of Orange Lounge Radio on June 18th will be the big show. And the reward for 15 years of Orange Lounge Radio, a week off without being sick. A week off for vacation purposes. That will be the big reward. I'm going to be going to Chicago to visit some friends and taking Alan out there, so I'll be having a good time. And hopefully Dark Soccer and Loki will have some fun around here. But that's still a couple months off. That's our next planned show off June 18th. Or excuse me, June 25th, because June 18th will be such a big show. 15 years of OLR, if you can believe it.
I need to get a pretty dress.
A quinceañera dress?
Why not? I'll go like to the thrift store and get something out of the 80s.
Do I want to commit ourselves to this? All right, fuck it. I'm just going to put it out there. We'll do it live. Do we want to bring back a video camera for June 18th and do the show on Twitch as a special little here we are?
Maybe.
That's some progress. Out of Dark
I'll
Soccer,
stay
guys.
Off camera.
All right. But you can, wear
at,
a pretty,
you can look at my dress.
You need to go full on nunnery.
No, because I'm not a novice yet.
Okay, I guess you can. All right.
Yeah, I can only manifest when I am with my big sister.
I see. All right. Well, maybe. But you could.
And for those who don't know, I am a postulant as the sister of Perpetual Indulgence. So look it up.
Clap, clap, clap. But you, okay, well, aside from that, you could do full-on Bio Queen drag, though, if you wanted, right? That's not against the
rules. You know what? I will channel Valentina.
You can beat your face for the
for
gods.
For the record, you saw that the last episode, right?
Yes.
I loved her lack of outfit. Just saying.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant.
That was inspired.
You will have to come on Reading is Fundamental to talk about that, but we got to get back to video games.
Valentina.
All right, let's talk about video games. We've got to get into gaming news this week. Loki, start us off.
Well, Nintendo announced because that they're, you know, they don't have unlimited resources, that they're going to put out yet another system that no one asked for. So Nintendo announced that they're going to be releasing a 2DS XL system for $149.99. It's going to be available on July 28th. Unlike the original 2DS, it's in a clamshell form factor, so it's like an actual DS, just not 3D. But it's got all the new 3DS hardware inside.
The 2DS thing doesn't actually really bug me because a lot of games are kind of foregoing that these days anyway. Like, you know, Pokemon Sun and Moon is probably the biggest 3DS game still right now, and only one small portion of that game uses 3D at all. It's the whole, I don't even remember what they call the mode, but it's the Pokemon Snap ripoff that they put into Sun and Moon. You can actually use 3D there, and that's really the only thing that uses it. But it's a new 3DS.
2DS.
But in 2D. But it's that whole, the word new.
Yeah.
So it will play all those new exclusives like Super Nintendo games and Xenoblade. And there might be one other I'm not thinking of. So I have to admit, there's a part of me that's just kind of like, eh? Like, again, my good old 3DS Triforce Edition. I love my gold 3DS. 3DS XL from several years ago is working fine, and I see no need to replace it. And there is nothing here that is screaming to me. I mean, I like the fact that they ripped off the colors of the dress. You remember the infamous dress that's black and blue, or is it gold and white? I can't tell what color. That's the colors of the 3DS.
This one is black and turquoise, specifically.
There is a gold and white one as well. So the two SKUs are the two colors of that infamous dress. I don't know if you caught that.
I did not.
But I'm like, wow.
Is that only in Japan that they're doing that? Because they said there's only one color option here, and that's just the black and turquoise.
Oh, no, then maybe it is Japan that's doing it. Well, Japan's getting a freaking, like, metal slime one as well that looks awesome. I don't know if you saw that. That one looks awesome. But I'm not sure what this is for. Because, again, if it's a budget thing, I get that. But there's a $99 2DS still on the market. Okay, it's
$79, actually.
Okay, it doesn't fold up and go in your pocket. Okay, but still, I'm like, if you're going for a budget option, usually those sorts of things, you know, you're not going to pay what now?
It's $50 less. So, yeah, like, if you're basically, I don't understand the point of that, because it's like, you basically said, okay, listen, we're not putting out 3D in our games, but here's a system that doesn't do the 3D for $50 less. They're almost like competing against themselves. Why does none of this make any sense?
I know they're still kind of pushing this too, especially after watching the last Nintendo Direct. They still, you know, they have these Kirby things. They have the Pikmin thing. Coldcept, which I can't hate on. I love that series. You know, they are still trying. But there's also a part of me that's like, just go full tilt Boogie on Switch right now. But
don't get me wrong. Like, Pikmin's a fun game, but like, how many games in the Pikmin series have we had, and how many F-Zero games have we had recently?
Yeah,
I mean, or Metroid games.
I love my 3DS. I'm just not convinced this is, you know, again, I was not convinced ever to upgrade to the new 3DS. This taking the 3D out and making it a little cheaper is still not convincing me to get rid of the 3DS I have.
Like, I don't have a I don't have a 3DS or a new 3DS. I mean, this looks cool. I'm not buying one.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you don't have a DS at all, a 3DS at all whatsoever in any form, there is a huge library of games you're missing out on that you know, it's time to just get one and catch
I don't
up on
think
all those
so
things,
and
but
here's why. Because they have a portable system as well called the Nintendo Switch, and I'm very hesitant with Nintendo's track record to trust anything is gonna last forever. So that's why I'm not jumping on board and with this brand new system that they're coming out with, because who the fuck knows when this whole shit was gonna get discontinued. I mean, yeah, I'm not at this point, like, I haven't jumped into the 3DS. I'm probably not going to. I mean, that's it. If there was something that I was going to, you know, would be worth it, and then I would have done it a long time ago.
But at you know what? There's people out there I see on Twitter and stuff that are all excited about this system and loving the colors and are going to pick it up. So, you know, more power to you. Good. You know, I hope you have fun with it. Hope it's worth it for you.
Some people that pick up everything Nintendo puts out.
Yeah, I'm just kind of like, but if you already have a 3DS, or especially if you have a new 3DS already, it's like, what is this? You're going to get this for the colors and I don't know. I don't get it as much, but it's your money. You buy what you want. You go on with yourself. It's fine. But I will be passing unless you know what? Maybe Nintendo at E3 is going to come out and say, listen up, fuckers, the 2DS. That's exactly how Reggie's going to phrase it. Listen up, fuckers, 2DS ain't dead, because guess what? We got a new 2D Metroid game coming out on the 2DS this year. I'm going to be like, really pissed on one hand, but at the same hand, I'm going to be like, oh, you sons of bitches. Here's my money. Take it. Take it. Here's more money. Take it. What? A special Samus 3D? Fine. Take that too. Here's my money. Enjoy it.
Right.
That's all it's going to take.
Well, you know what? I stand corrected that there was a Metro game that got released. How could I forget that there was a Metro game? Oh, maybe because it doesn't fucking look like Metroid at all. Stupid Federation Force. I mean,
that didn't happen. That's a
garbage. Absolute garbage. I don't trust them one bit.
All right. Hey,
we got a new F-Zero game. It's called F-Zero. Fuck you. We're not giving you a good game. It's slow-ass cars. They're snails now. Super snails. It's F-Zero. It's fucking snails racing.
Like it or not, and I'm in the not camp, I do believe Mario Kart is Nintendo's all-in racer at this point, especially with all the other Nintendo properties they're bringing in. And I feel like a new F-Zero game just ain't happening. I would love to be proven wrong more than anything in the world, but I'm done getting my hopes up. All right, well, here's a game that I think would make me very excited for a 2DS or a 3DS if it happened over there, although I'd rather see it on Switch. But it's something you could actually play on PC right now, at least until they take it down. This is a user on itch.io named Winterdrake who has done a game called Breath of the Ness. That's right, it's the Zelda game, Breath of the Wild, but as a 2D adventure. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, that's right, because Game Developers Conference this year, Nintendo had a panel, and the developers behind Zelda were talking about how they originally developed Breath of the Wild in a 2D format with some of the features, you know, like dynamic weather, destructible objects, some of the things that actually ended up in the game when it hit its 3D form. So, of course, somebody stepped up to the challenge and said, I wonder what this would look like as a real game. So they made this game. So, yeah, you can actually, there's a trailer that you're able to look at where you can actually topple trees onto enemies, lure them into dangerous spikes, and so on. I mean, it has a lot of the elements from Breath of the Wild, but in the more 2D format. So you can check that out again on itch.io. But tomorrow is Monday. That's probably when the lawyers are back in and the cease and desist will be headed over to this person. The demo is free. You don't have to pay for it. Nintendo is probably going to end up shutting it down, though, so get it while you can. But you know what they say? Once it's on the internet, it's forever on the internet. So, yeah, that might be worth a look, because I'm sure if you're interested in this, you've already bought Breath of the Wild, the regular version. If you haven't, you're missing the hell out, because it's, you know, one of the...
I need to play that some more.
It's a fantastic... I need to finish it, really.
They pick up some new Wii U games this week for my kid.
Oh, yeah?
I picked up Super Mario 3D World and Pokken Tournament, because he bitching that he doesn't have enough games to play.
Oh, yeah, guess what? The wonders of doing a live show. This is coming through in the chat room right now. This looks like this just broke a few hours ago. Let's see. Here it is. There was a tweet that says, from Winterdrake, I'm no longer legally able to distribute Breath of the NES, but any donations you made will be spent working on the game. The game isn't dead. I just won't be using the Zelda characters. It will live on. That's right. It was ordered, taken down by Nintendo. So somebody's
I'm so shocked.
Yeah, I know. Shock and awe, but there it is. The tweets are up there. Yeah, oh, the cease and desist letter is even posted there for your perusal.
You know, if you want to release something like this to the internet, release it as a goddamn torrent on a torrent site, because what the fuck are they going to do there? CND on that?
Or, well, it's an interesting thing, because there's a part of me that says he should have just from the beginning used the non-Zelda sprites that he's going to obviously change this into now. He's just going to change all the sprites so that it's a completely different looking type of game, but it's still the same idea. But at the same time, if he had done that in the very beginning, he wouldn't have gotten all this press. So, I don't know. There's no easy answer here. There just isn't. So, all right, let's move on with some other gaming news. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
I think it is aptly titled in the article as ludicrous. You remember Shaq Fu?
Who doesn't?
Remember that Indiegogo about Shaq Fu, A Legend Reborn?
I don't, but everything's got a Kickstarter.
It was there. Indiegogo it these days. Barely made its goal. Well, it has been announced, of course, in 2015 for PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Wii U. And now it's going to be coming to Switch. Although there's commentary that it might have been canceled for Wii U just to come on the Switch instead. It's being developed by Saber Interactive. And they said not just are they getting Shaq Fu, but they're getting another motocross title and another cooperative shooter. So who knows? But why can't they just let Shaq Fu not exist?
Well, Jamie, what if it is actually pretty good? So I couldn't even make it through without laughing. I couldn't do it.
Well,
but it might, Jamie, it might. Or it might not.
If someone else owns it, I'll play it.
Dark Tetsuya in chat says, I could see that happening. I think that would be neat to play on Switch. Well, this new game is supposed to be a beat-em-up as opposed to a one-on-one fighter. Well, that will fix everything. I'll reserve judgment for a trailer. I suppose that's the appropriate steps to take. We shouldn't judge the game until we see, you know, at least a trailer, if not the game itself. But it's Shaq Fu. It's hard not to have some reservations about the game. You know what I'm saying?
Reservations.
All right. Loki, what's up next?
So apparently there's, you know, some more information. Nintendo Life had spoken with some indie devs about kind of what their relationship is with Nintendo right now. Kind of in the past, they've had different issues, you know, be that curation or just even assistance in getting their products onto their marketplaces. Well, apparently now, coming from some of the independent developers, they're saying that that relationship hasn't really gotten any better and maybe even a little bit worse. Saying you know, one developer who's been described as like a top-rated eShop, had top-rated eShop releases, basically says that, you know, where in the past he had been pretty chummy with Nintendo, they had like, you know, dinner meetings and stuff like that. Now it was like the way they're treating them is basically this is just a transaction. There's no helping them getting their product onto the store anymore. It was more of just like, okay, you submit us your game and we'll see, maybe we'll get it on the store for you or something. So just kind of some complaints that's not really more personal. Also, you know, fact that they're not really enforcing some of their policies. So, you know, there's some people that have been like actually shut out of the service. So basically that they're very inconsistent about their policies. You know, there's games that they look at that, you know, 20% complete, and they're saying that, you know, they're being allowed to, you know, have permission to release on the store when they're done, when they have no idea what the game's going to even look like, or I don't know. It's just, it seems like it's a lot harder to publish onto that platform.
This is weird for me to hear though, because there's also other chatter where it sounds like Nintendo has been easier than ever, but it sounds like maybe if you're one of the companies in the circle or whatever, Nintendo's easier to work with than ever, but if you're outside of it, it might be a little harder. Is that's the impression I'm getting?
Yeah, like, you know, they were saying that, you know, for example, you know,
which
getting,
again, all of this is in the rumors category, but
it could, it's obviously people that have had problems with it. No one's, I don't think anyone's really saying, oh yeah, it's been fantastic.
It's like reading a Yelp review.
Exactly. Well, like they're saying, you know, getting a Wii U dev kit took about a week worth of work, which is basically nothing, while it was impossible to get our hands on a Switch. We had to go to a publisher for it. And the only other complaint about, was it under communication, professionalism is there, and no doubt about it, but hardware access was way more painful than it needed to be, especially compared to the Xbox One. Outside of that, everything else makes sense, and it's in line with industry standards. So, I mean, is it really, like, were the Switch allocations that bad that they couldn't get dev kits out to people? That's kind of stupid, if you ask me. It's like, oh, well, shit, can't get the hardware to develop a game for our system, because let's be honest, it's really those indie games that are fucking floating your shit right now. So, I mean, come on. That's kind of pathetic.
Well, if it's true, but I mean, I think there's probably also because of the success of the Switch, and let's not, you know, hold back. The Switch has been extraordinarily successful. We got the numbers from Nintendo this week. They're selling very, very well. You know, there's probably a ton of indie developers that all of a sudden want to get on this thing. And maybe it's because of some of the good words that have been out there.
I think
about
there's probably a lot of indie developers that are working on Wii U titles, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, Wii U is pretty much gone.
Yeah, right.
It's like, well, shit, I better port this over.
Until they announce at E3, Wii U. Because why not? And they just released a 2DS XL. Why not do a Wii
U? It's like a Wii U, but without the gamepad.
Would that be a Wii W?
I was just going to say a Wii W. God damn it, Jamie. Beat me to the joke.
Well, we are punsters.
Yeah, what can you do? All right. So.
Or it could be just a Wii U. Like, why you?
Wii U too.
Be Wii U.
I like Wii W. All right. Anyway, let's get to another. We've had a lot of Nintendo stories. I want to talk about this game, which is headed, I think, for the PlayStation 4. And for the PC is where this game is headed. Yeah, PC and PlayStation 4 in May is a spiritual successor to Burnout. And I was wondering... What?
I said yes.
I know, because I've kind of been wondering what's happened to the Burnout series. We haven't had one of these games in a while.
Criterion, they were working on a game. It was like supposed to be like some extreme sports thing that got canceled. And then I think that they were working on the Need for Speed games, which have kind of sort of been going like the Burnout route, but they're not quite Burnout.
Yeah, they're not quite.
So that's as far as I've heard.
Well, there's a company now out there called Three Fields Entertainment, and it's made up of former Burnout franchise developers. They're going to be releasing a vehicular destruction game called Danger Zone. Please tell me they licensed. Was it Kenny Loggins that did that song? Please tell me they licensed that song to use in this. Because otherwise, like, how can you fucking do a game called Danger Zone and not actually, with cars crashing and not have the flying to the danger
and
zone?
It's got to be in the trailer. It's got to be in the trailer.
I don't know if I can support it if it doesn't. Well, anyway, this game takes place in a crash testing facility, and you will be surviving a variety of crash testing scenarios while trying to get bonus pickups. The studio in its press release said you can shunt vehicles into oncoming traffic, take down trailers to shed their payloads, and use your explosive smash breaker to move your vehicle around. The more explosions you cause, the bigger your score.
Smash breaker, let's just completely rip off fucking Burnout Smash Mode.
This sounds like they released a game on Xbox Arcade.
Yeah, they had
that. That sounds it's a party. Lot like
this. It was Burnout Party or something like that. And yeah, it was because that's based off of Burnout's crash mode that they had. And but I mean, they're literally ripping that off, which is I guess it's okay because it was fun. But I mean, they're calling it literally the same thing.
Yeah, it's just really funny. Anyway, this studio, they did already release a game called Dangerous Golf, but Danger Zone is coming out in May. Get this price though, $12.99.
Dangerous Golf is funny too because Dangerous Golf is basically it's playing golf in a house, but it's like Burnout Crash Mode if you were to play golf in a house, if that makes sense. So, like, you're hitting a golf ball and try to break stuff in a house, and your golf ball can explode and all sorts of ridiculous stuff because it's basically Burnout as a golf ball.
The sad thing is, though, it doesn't sound like it has the actual racing parts. Like, that was, it sounds like
yeah, that is unfortunate.
That's too bad. But for $12.99, okay. Like, because if the racing had been there, then it would probably
just
be
just EA,
game.
Come on, bring back fucking Burnout. No one gives a shit about Need for Speed anymore. Just give Need for Speed a year off and fucking put out Burnout Paradise 2 or whatever the fuck you're going to put out.
Anyway, some good comments in chat regarding the whole Kenny Loggins thing. JD suggesting Archer should also be there. Kenny Loggins and Archer. And Dark Tetsuya saying, if Rock Band can get them both, maybe these guys could license him for a cameo. Anything is possible, folks. Anything is possible. Anyhow, we need to get to the classic game of the week. Oop. That's not her music. Wrong music. How about that one?
Sure.
Emails are in part B. How about this one instead? Every week, Dar Sakura steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, listen, hey, listen. Oh, wait, no, that's her fairy garden.
My fairy garden is Navi free, thank you.
She steps in the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you kids should be checking this game out this week. Dark Sakura, what did you pick for the classic game of the week?
I picked Burnout.
How ironic.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't even compare notes.
No, we didn't.
We sure didn't.
I actually picked Burnout because Dan was watching Roadkill Garage, and so I went to see if I had interest in metal, which I have. So I picked Burnout instead. So,
well, it's a good choice. It's a timely choice.
So Burnout was released in 2001, and it came out on PlayStation 2 initially. It later got GameCube and Xbox versions a year later in 2002, but it still meets my criteria. It was noted for crashing. You're supposed to crash on purpose. So you have championship mode, which is the main mode of the game, and you've got different, you know, races in that mode, and you compete against other cars, and it gets harder and harder and harder, so because it's a race. And then you have a face-off challenge after each of those where you can unlock a new car if you win. You've got sprinting, you've got all this other one, you have all kinds of different cars in it too, that are kind of generic unbranded cars as far as I remember. But the big thing about this game is the crashes. And it has led to pretty crazy versions of, you know, later games that have, like, although I think it didn't kind of move away from, like, the whole crash thing. There's, like, an E version, I think.
No.
No.
No. That's Burnout. Of course it didn't.
Well, no, there was another one that, like, it's got, you know, I'm thinking of the Silver, the iOS version, because it's all nothing but crashes.
Yeah, I was going to say, you might be thinking of the thing we were thinking of a minute ago, the whole party spinoff thing that they had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is that you're supposed to rack up as much property damage as you can with one crash. And the crash mechanics got more and more and more and more ridiculous. But there's not really much to say about it. It's a racing game with crashes, and exploding things is pretty damn cool.
Well, it wasn't just about crashing, because Burnout was about you get nitrous for, or boost, I guess. Your boost meter goes up by driving dangerously. So that could be, you know, crashing into opponent cars, or, you know, driving in the oncoming traffic, or cutting cars off really
close.
Basically
reckless driver
drifting,
of the game.
That type of stuff. So that's, that was the main, like, racing part of the game. Of course, you know, then there's crash mode, which is awesome, and you can crash into things and explode the car.
How many people play this game for the races?
I did. I played for both.
Okay, five people.
Racing is fun, but fire is funner.
Fire
well, you kind of had to play it for both the unlocked cars, you know. So you
that's
had
true.
To,
that's true.
I want that to be on the tombstone of Orange Lounge Radio when this inevitably ends someday. Fire is funner.
Fire is funner. But the people that the thing that people mostly know about this game is the explosions, crashing, and semi trucks, and being a reckless driver.
Like, you can race for only so long, and then, like, you have to create an accident on purpose. Like, you just have to. I tried to do the same thing in Mario Kart, but it's not the same.
I remember Dan trying to play through this and, like, trying on purpose not to crash. And then he'd crash, and it would take, like, 5 hours to finish the crash. And he'd be like, damn it, I was trying to get that car!
Man, if Criterion can make a Mario Kart game, now that would be awesome.
Call it Mario Crash.
I know this is never going to happen, and I know it was a different company. It was bizarre, but what about Blur? Like, that game got shafted really bad.
It's too bad.
It's too bad. Blur was...
Yeah, but Activision tends to do that.
Anyway, sorry. I know that's not Burnout, but I have to bring it up.
Burnout, I'm done.
She's burnt out on Burnout.
Yep.
All right, there it is. Your classic game of the week. A very timely choice. Burnout, the original... from 2001, available on pretty much all the systems of the PS2 era. That would mean the GameCube and the Xbox as well. Check it out. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, there is plenty more Orange Lounge Radio to come. We'll be talking about a controversial video game from the past coming back. I think y'all know what's coming up with this one. And then Darksoccer is going to give us a little bit of a history lesson. We have all that and plenty more to look forward to when we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio right after this. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio. Live tonight, episode number 684 of our show, already in progress. If you're just joining us, you missed a fun part A. We had Zircon joining us to talk about Tangle Deep, as well as some of his other work with music and so forth. And then we had an interesting story from Alan, who was actually on site trying to get a classic NES, but alas... he was beat out by scalpers who were not shy about their scalping. So,
and they suck.
Yeah, if you missed that part of the show, you can check it out on our podcast feed. If you're already checking out the show on the podcast feed, hello and thanks for joining us. And as I say at the end of every show, we do appreciate a nice review, a 5-star review on iTunes or Google Play, wherever it is that you found this podcast. Those ratings and such go an awful long way to help us spread the word about Orange Lounge Radio. Let's get back into some more gaming talk. We have some rapid-fire news to get to, starting with Loki.
Yes, you may remember that Bayonetta was just released out on Steam, which is kind of a surprise, and everyone's thinking, oh, hey, cool. You know,
Bayonetta 2.
Bayonetta 2, or maybe, you know, maybe another new game will be coming out soon. So one of Platinum's games that people are really hoping to see next would be, of course, Vanquish. And there's maybe a little bit of a tease regarding that as well. Apparently, there was a small update done to Bayonetta, the Steam version, adding a Vanquish avatar to the game's extras folder. So that was kind of a little interesting. Could that be hinting that Vanquish would be the next title that's going to be coming to Steam? I guess we'll just have to wait and find out, because they haven't said anything. So, I don't know. And then, of course, for PlayStation Plus for May, we're going to be getting a handful of titles, including on PlayStation 4, Tales from the Borderlands and Abzu. Those are going to be both on PlayStation 4. Port Royale 3, Pirates and Merchants, and Blood Knights on PS3. And finally, on the Vita, Laser Disco Defenders and Typewriters. Those are also cross-buy on PlayStation 4. So they'll be coming in May.
Just to piggyback on that a little bit, don't forget it's the 30th today if you're listening live, so this is your last chance to grab some of the Xbox One stuff. I think Walking Dead Season 2 is one of the things today's last chance to get. And then tomorrow, it's Gianna Sisters Twisted Dreams. And I want to say Star Wars Force Unleashed 2. It's a Star Wars game of some sort is also, mm-hmm. somebody in chat knows, but that's what's Xbox One.
So. And you have till May 2nd to get... So you have a few more days for April as well
for PlayStation games.
Yeah, but May 2nd is when they're going to be going up for May.
Gotcha. Yeah, Microsoft's always kind of a hard stop on the 1st and the 15th and all that stuff, but PlayStation tends to kind of cycle out whatever Tuesday is close to the 1st of the month is when they tend to do it. Although for E3, they might push back. I remember last June, the June games didn't show up till like around E3 time. So, well, speaking of E3 time, we're only like 6 weeks away, believe it or not.
That's hard to believe.
From the big public E3, which is going to be interesting.
Oh, I should take some days off for the...
Oh, I can't afford to at this point.
Well, I think it's like a day off because it's really only one day.
Yeah, it's really that first day when all the news hits, right? So
I have like all the conferences. Or I could just watch conferences at my desk.
Yeah, sadly, I can't do that this year. I'm going to have to just kind of play the catch-up game and so forth. I would love to do live reactions and so forth. Or like, you know, nightly shows kind of breaking it down or something. I just don't know if I'll be able to do that this year. But I know, well, one of the things we're going to have to deal with is Bethesda's E3 event because, and this is all like the week before our big anniversary show, right? It's Sunday, June 11th. Yeah, is the E3 Bethesda conference. It's right in the middle of OLR. So I'll have to kind of work around that as we have for the past couple of years. Well, Bethesda has actually sent out their official invites this week, and they kind of did an amusement park theme with this. But what's interesting about this amusement park theme is that if you look at the little postcards they sent out, they see some things, you know, like that are portrayed here in this amusement park, such as there's definitely a Fallout 4 section. You can definitely see like a Quake Champions. There's definitely a Doom thing back in there, kind of an Elder Scrolls representative area as well. But there are two areas that show under construction. Bum, bum, bum. So it seems like Bethesda may unveil two new games at their show this year. Don't expect Elder Scrolls 6. Apparently, it has already been commented on previously. The Elder Scrolls 6 is way too early in development. It is a long ways off. Don't expect that. But there is some murmurs and things out there that one of the games could be Evil Within 2.
Yeah, I was going to say one of those. That's probably Elder Scrolls Online because I don't think they have...
No, Elder Scrolls Online is represented in the little thing. That game's already out.
Well, anyway. No, I mean, the top one there was Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah.
They have the volcano there.
Yeah, so no, I don't... I mean, there could be an... Well, they just did the Morrowind expansion, right? So I don't
right, that's what that would be, though. They have the volcano from that, so...
Gotcha.
And then, of course, Doom. And then it looks like, yeah, Quake. I'm guessing that is... what the hell is that game?
Wolfenstein is the other thought that people are thinking. It could be a Wolfenstein 2 is what they're going to
announce. Well, I don't know what the... Oh, that's Prey. So Prey and then Dishonored is
yeah,
the
Prey
other
and
one.
Dishonored are represented there, too.
And Fallout.
So very likely that it could be Evil Within 2 and Wolfenstein 2, but... Who knows? Anything's possible. So you'll have to stay tuned for E3 to find out because maybe they have a new thing to do. One other thing I want to mention before we go over to Dark Sakura, and that is the Mega Man Legacy Collection 2. Although nothing has been officially announced, apparently a Korean ratings board, which has leaked a few other games in the past, has leaked some information regarding the Mega Man Legacy Collection 2, which would include Mega Man 7, 8, 9, and 10. No word on any of the X series or anything else. It's just the 7, 8, 9, and 10 to complete off what started with 1 through 6 when that was released. Gosh, that was about a year and a half ago at this point that came out. So this is only confirmed through the ratings board through PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. That means we have not heard a confirmation on the 3DS yet, which I seem to recall the original Mega Man collection was on the 3DS, and certainly nothing on the Nintendo Switch, which I don't know if you guys know, but that Disney Afternoon Collection actually just came out this past week. Mm-hmm. That's the one that has the original DuckTales, DuckTales 2, Chip and Dale. You know, it has like a bunch of the Tailspin, you know, a bunch of those Disney games from the NES era. I passed on it, which I was surprised that I did, but I'm holding out for a Switch version. Like, I truly believe Switch is the console that thing ought to be on. I might be waiting a while. Especially if Capcom's first big release is going to be that Street Fighter 2 thing they're charging, what, $30-$40 for.
Yeah. That looks like crap.
I'm not too excited about that, but I'm going to hope that these collections make their way to Switch at some point, because I really, especially with the Disney Afternoon Collection, that's where that thing belongs. It's just, it's a little silly. It's
is Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite coming to Switch?
Good question. I don't think we know. Right now, no. But, you know, again, Nintendo just announced these very powerful sales figures, so now third parties have probably got to be giving Nintendo another look. They might have wrote it off after the Wii U. I think there's going to be now people that might go back and look at Nintendo. We might have an interesting E3. We might see some things announced for Switch that we weren't expect. I mean, we haven't had third parties really playing along strongly with Wii U in a while, or Nintendo, really. In a while. I mean, 3DS, yes, here and there, but Wii U tended to be the focus of the E3 presentations. So I'll be very curious to see how much third parties kind of take over Nintendo's E3 with some of their announcements. We'll see. We'll see. We got a good 6 weeks to go or so. Anyway, moving on. Dark Soccer, what do you have for us?
Stuff. Guess what? There was an MMO I used to play a while back, and it was called Star Trek Online.
Oh, yeah, they're still going. Yeah,
it is still going. They're on episode 13 now. And it looks like this one is called Escalation, and they're actually doing a balance update for Space Combat. Ground Combat got its update last season, and then they're also bringing in new escort vessels and doing some touches on Star Trek Nemesis, so we'll see what happens with that. I don't know if it's enough to make me want to play again, but it's pretty interesting. And then last, Gundam Versus is coming out in the U.S. It's going to be out on PS4 by Bandai, and it is a multiplayer fighting game that's based on the Mobile Suit Gundam universe. So we're getting Gundam games. That's cool. So enjoy.
I will. I will enjoy.
Are you enjoy?
Yes. All right, let's travel around and check out some games that are coming out a little sooner, as in stores, this week.
And what can be described as probably the weirdest spinoff of the Mass Effect series, The Caligula Effect, is going to be coming out on Vita this week.
Vita game in the U.S.?
In the U.S., I know. They happen sometimes. The Legend of Heroes, Trails in the Sky, the third, coming out on PC. Prey is coming out on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
Is that demo out?
It is out, yes.
Yeah, I heard people talking about that on the Twitters.
And then World to the West on PC, Mac, and Linux, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Wii U. Wii U getting a game. That's it.
All right. Well, heading on over to Japan, there really isn't anything to speak of on the PlayStation 4 this week. Things are pretty dry over there, so nothing really for me to plug. And honestly, it's kind of the same story on the PlayStation Vita as well. The next release is on May 11th over there. I'm thinking it's kind of a slow week in Japan because the Switch doesn't have anything. But, you know, again, the physical releases are still very slow in Japan, and there's actually nothing on the 3DS either. However, I believe it's Golden Week in Japan right now, and that could probably explain their lack of releases. In fact, I just was looking up here. I think it's right at the end of April, right? Yeah, April 29th was Emperor's birthday. May 5th is Children's Day. So we're right in the midst of Golden Week. So this is why there's really no releases in Japan right now. So you're going to have to wait a little while. Loki, I'm sorry, Dark Soccer, how about the UK?
On May 4th, there's Space Plan for Android and iOS and PC. And then on the 5th, Prey for PC, Xbox One, PlayStation 4, World to the West on the major systems as well. And that's pretty it.
All right. So a little bit of a slower week in releases, except for Prey. That's kind of a big deal. I still remember Prey on the Xbox 360, the original one. But this new one's like completely different, like nothing to do with the original Prey, right? It's just two games that have the same name that happen to be first-person shooters. I'm curious about it. All right. Let's go to the mailbag. I think it's time to hear from you guys. We have a couple weeks worth of emails to catch up on, but not too many. You guys send us emails every week. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. And Dark Sakura dives into the mailbag and finds her favorite emails to read right now.
Now, I may be going slight bit out of order on some of these emails, but I will go ahead and start. One of these is from Sam. Hello, OLR crew. I love the show. Which console are you all going to buy? The $400 Scorpio or the feature pack $600 Scorpio Elite? Thank you, Sam.
Well, we don't have confirmation on any of those right now. I don't think we'll know till E3, but I do think there were some rumblings this past week about some, like a SKU had come out or something, or I don't know, some more details. Like, we know how many teraflops are in it and all this stuff, right?
Well, they already talked, they have already shown off, like, the hardware, too. Like, what was it? Was it Digital Trends? No, it was one of the, like, Eurogamer and stuff. They were looking at it.
But I remember there were some rumors out there about there being two versions of it, which I don't see.
I don't know. I don't think we know anything yet.
Yeah, I mean, we really don't know until E3. And I'm going to be honest, when it comes to Scorpio, like, I'm not, like, at this current time, and if anyone from Microsoft who makes these things happens to be listening, here's what's important about E3. If you want me to put the money down to pre-order a Scorpio, you really need to convince me, as an Xbox One owner and as a pretty beefy computer running Windows 10 user, why do I need Scorpio? Because right now, it doesn't seem like there's a reason for me to own it. Like, anything I want, I could play on Xbox One, or I could play on my Windows 10 machine. Granted, there's some things that I prefer
just
on Xbox
One. Hopefully you're not playing it in game mode, because I saw a video today regarding Windows 10 game mode that apparently looks like it sucks.
Really? I heard it's best used on older machines. You get better frame rate on older machines. The games run fine for me.
I follow Lions Tech Tips, and they do like a bunch of different videos regarding like hardware benchmarking and stuff, and they tested three different SKUs, kind of like a low end, middle tier, and high end PCs with three different games, including Gears of War 4. And with game mode on, it actually cut some of the frame rates in half. Like the 99% frame rate that they received.
Interesting.
Yeah, so there was a lot more frame rate dips, I guess, with that.
No, I don't even worry about game mode. I haven't played with it because I don't need to. I get great frame rates from Final Fantasy 14.
I get shitty frame rates with my laptop, so I'm all for that. But right now, I need to see what games would get me on board with it. I mean, yeah. I like Forza Horizon 3, but Crackdown, hopefully this year. Because there's no confirmation yet that it's coming out this year yet. Have we heard anything about it? Nope.
No, but we know Scalebound's not happening now. So, I mean, Microsoft's going to be a real weird wild card at E3. We kind of know what to expect from Nintendo, I would say, going into E3.
Nothing.
It's not nothing, but it's the big games that are going to sell the Switch this holiday, including Mario Odyssey will be one of them. There's probably going to be a second AAA game.
Can we get the pitchforks and torches out if they start like fucking announcing the Super Nintendo Mini thing? Can we start a mob if
they do not address supply concerns? Yes.
Well, this is Nintendo. Of course they're not going to address supply concerns.
Then yes, we can get out the pitchforks.
Yeah.
But if they do, which they might. They might have a roundabout way of doing it. They'll use boardroom speak.
Somehow, we don't have unlimited resources, but we managed to get more resources.
Exclusive pre-orders available to my Nintendo members starting today. Bam. Cut out scalpers immediately.
They're made out of completely different plastic. Different polymers, you know.
And much, much harder to hack. Anyway, Microsoft's going to be a very interesting wild card for E3, whereas, yes, we know what to expect. We know the Scorpio is coming, but what is going to substantiate the purchase of a Scorpio? That's what we don't know. So that's my big roundabout answer to this very short email is that has to be answered until we can talk further about Scorpio, and that is, what's the compelling reason for me to get one? Because right now, beefier tech isn't doing it. I already feel burned by that from PlayStation 4 Pro. So I'm not making that mistake again. Anyway, next email, Dark Sakura, please.
I will go ahead and read the next short one, which is much earlier. Dear Redertainment, Kylie Minogue is a flawless goddess. Please take those blasphemous statements of her being trashy elsewhere. With love, Osfer. P.S. Get out of my way.
That's a song lyric from Kylie Minogue.
I know.
Well, I was hoping you'd sing it. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
You. I don't think you were here the last show, Dark Sakura, but Redertainment unfortunately made a fleet. He was trying to refer to Kylie Minogue as campy, but I think he used the word trashy, and I may have read the Riot Act live on air. I know he just made
Kylie is a flawless goddess.
Kylie is a flawless goddess, but I think he made an innocent mistake. She is campy.
He made a mistake.
No, wasn't she Cammy? I mean,
yeah, she was Cammy.
Fuck off.
I think we're getting a.
Do you know the whole reason that I saw that movie was to see her as Cammy?
Oh, you know my like 12-year-old gay ass was like Kylie Minogue,
right?
Yeah.
She made a good Cammy.
Yeah, she was,
and a good Cammy.
Raul Julia made that movie, really, and her.
Sad it was his last film.
It is really sad it was
his last
film.
But you know, I saw it
film.
Twice in the theater.
I only saw it once. Anyway, moving on.
Okay. Hello, LR. Last week's show, you mentioned the discontinuation of the NES Classic Mini. I absolutely agree with you guys that the fact that this discontinuation, along with the super limited supply, were absolute jerk moves, and that Nintendo deserves whatever crap they're given for them. But purely from a business standpoint, I believe that Nintendo got exactly what they wanted out of the S Classic Mini. Now, please understand that this is my personal speculation regarding the twisted, possibly deluded point of view of a Japanese corporation that's widely regarded as marching to the beat of their own drum and no one else's. But Nintendo Switch is still 4 months out and no details have been released. The 3DS is old. Nobody's talking about Wii U anymore. No significant Nintendo products are on anyone's Christmas list. Hi, it's May. This is something that will get people talking about Nintendo again, generate new interest in the brand to please the investors, and hopefully make folks hungrier for the Switch next year. Do we want to sell 20 million of these? Absolutely not. We would rather sell these games for $5 a pop as downloads on our dedicated consoles. But will this help us put up some holiday numbers? These look really good. So now we're hearing rumors about a possible SNES Classic Mini for the holiday season next year. Nintendo is always claiming that they're listening to customer feedback. What does that mean for new mini? For the new mini? Probably that it will now say a limited edition on the box to make sure we know from the outset that this is a special item made specifically for scalpers. No other significant changes will be made, especially in terms of quality. A quantity manufactured, mark my words. Oh man, I hope I'm really wrong. I would love to get my hands on one of those things. Pretending to place a pre-order right now, Aaron YYR.
It's not to the same market. The people that, like, if they're saying, oh, well, we're, you know, if you want to play your classic games, you can play it on the virtual console. The people that would have bought the NES Mini aren't necessarily people that are even going to buy a Switch or a Wii U or a 3DS or whatever. You're selling to a completely new market. And they were making money off those because there's not enough in the hardware itself. There was, component-wise, there wasn't that much to it. It was just a chip. He says, I'm on a chip running Linux. That's it. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. If I was an investor, I'd be furious because it's money on the table that they're throwing away. And, yeah, the only thing that it really did for me is just enrage me as a consumer of Nintendo products is just this is the bullshit that they claim that they've gotten all this supply chain shit fixed. And here's another fucking example of no, they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
I agree with you, Loki, on the sense that as a publicly traded company in Japan, I would be furious if I was an investor that they're leaving this on the table as well. And especially when the reasons, I mean, do the investors know something we don't, like the real reason why they're walking away from this? I don't know. But like, I can talk about this stuff and get huffy about it till I'm pink in the face. But the reality is Nintendo, like just, we're at the point where Nintendo just fucking does no wrong. Like we can sit here and go, what a bunch of fucking morons. Da, 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 da. But time and time again, Switch sells 2 million. They have all this freaking positive press out there. So you know what? I'm done trying to speculate.
Because it's got Apple appeal. It's got Apple appeal. It doesn't matter what Apple will do. People will fucking buy the price. Nintendo, doesn't matter what they're going to do.
We're beyond that at this point. Like, I don't even, I think we're away from those comparisons.
Because it's to a religious fanatic state that they've got so much hope that Nintendo's going to do the right thing. Please show me some examples of like how they're actually going to follow through this. Because right now, this system is only a couple months old. We don't know what they're going to do. That the Mario game that they're promising for fourth quarter, who knows if that's coming out in fourth quarter? It's a promise right now. We don't know shit.
The thing with Apple, though, like, they have never walked away from a product at the height of its popularity that I can recall.
Exactly. They will sell that shit until it's just not moving off shelves.
That's where we're beyond this now. Like, that's
exactly. They get supply chain, but Nintendo, which is weird because I'm assuming that they manufacture in China because everybody fucking manufactures in China. How did they find the one part China that can't fucking manufacture a tiny plastic box with a chip inside of it?
I don't know anymore. I'm going to wait till E3 to see what fucking the circus brings to town next. That's all I can do at this point with Nintendo anymore. I'm going to wait till the circus comes to town for E3. Do you agree, Dark Soccer? Are you going to wait for the circus?
Nah.
All right. Is that it for emails tonight?
Yes.
All right. Then we will move on to some more news. But if you want to email us for a future week, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. We will be opening up the Skype line for your calls at Orange Lounge Radio a little later on in the show. But first, we do have some more news to get to. Loki.
Did you know it's been 25 years since Night Trap was released? I know that because they're releasing a Night Trap 25th Anniversary Edition that's going to be coming to PlayStation 4.
Way to make me feel old, Loki, as all these fucking anniversary stories do. Like when Mario Brothers turned 30 and Zelda turned 30, I was like, oh, what's that say about you, Rob Roberts? But yeah, I mean, cool that Night Trap is 25, I guess.
Now, I'm not sure if this is the same Night Trap remastered that was a Kickstarter, a really shitty Kickstarter. This may be a whole different thing since it's actually going to be releasing in spring. But it is coming soon, and that's all we know about it. We don't know anything other than it's Night Trap. But I guess that's all you really need to know.
For most people, that's what they need to know. I guess it's cool that it's getting a physical release on PlayStation 4, but I'm going to be that bitch for a minute. Why? This game is not that good. Like, it's not that good a game. You had this as the classic game of the week, like, a month ago. Like, we just recently were talking about Night Trap on this show. Excuse me. Night Trap is not that good of a game. You know, the thing that Night Trap did for us is that it gave us the ESRB. Now, granted, Mortal Kombat helped with that, too. But Night Trap was that game that, you know, Joe Lieberman had the copy of, you know, at the congressional hearings and so forth. So the game industry created the ESRB.
Because why?
Because
there's women in it that are wearing tight shirts? Is that why? Of the children?
Maybe Jamie remembers this a little better, but I seem to remember some of the depictions of the killing of the girls were the real problem.
And by today's standards, it's really tame.
Well, isn't that... It's funny you bring that up because I heard that this game is rated T for teen now. It's not even M game anymore.
But the version that I have is the pre-edited version.
Oh, so maybe there's some edits in here that are making
There were edits. Mm. Because after the advent of the ESRB, there was a re-release of it that was toned down some.
I guess Dungeon Buster in chat has a good point. Why does Mad Dog McCree keep getting re-releases?
I don't know, because it's probably a cheap license is what it is.
Fucking somebody's buying it, I guess.
The company Screaming Villains, who's actually developing the sequel, though, or sequel remaster, I guess, they have their website, which doesn't really have anything on there except for the trailer, but it also does have a free copy of the Night Trap theme song, or remaster of the theme song if you want to play that until it comes out. So check it out.
All right. Well, hooray for those of you guys that are super into a Night Trap. A question from chat over at live.vognetwork.com. SSJ100 Matt says, Rob, was Sleepaway Camp good when it came out? I think it's just a cult classic. Let's be clear. That movie was never good. So, yes, it's just a cult classic. One of those things. But are you trying to compare Night Trap to Sleepaway Camp? I don't know if those two things can be compared.
I would totally play a Sleepaway Camp game, though.
Again, if you've never seen Sleepaway Camp, you owe it to yourself. Do not fucking read about it. Do not spoil the ending to Sleepaway Camp.
The ending is like such the cherry on top of...
Well, and by today's standards, it's problematic. But, you know, put your 1983 hat on and go watch Sleepaway Camp.
It's such a silly, stupid movie, but it's...
It is.
It's the ending, though, it's just so ridiculous that it just made it. I remember watching that like for the first time, and like we were just like uncontrollably laughing at the end, just like the last scene with the music and everything. Like we're just like, it was just so ridiculous.
It's more random than anything.
It is random. Anyway. It's a very random.
It's very random. All right. Anyway. JD in chat says, I don't have a 1983 cap. Well, knit one. Dark Soccer. You know what? I know Dark Soccer's twist this year is she does once a month the classic system of the week. But I'm thinking next year for 2018, you might need to do the classic like movie of the week, of the month or something.
The first movie is Xanadu. Xanadu.
Classic 80s movie.
You could even, you could still, some of these
that was
movies,
1980 as well.
If you were smart in the way you planned it out, see, you could still say Xanadu ties into video games because there's DDR. There's the Don Bluth animation sequences, which those games were a huge part of arcades in the early 80s, right?
Between Dragon's Lair and Space Ace and all that,
right? So there's ways. And where did you play a lot of video games in the early 80s? At the roller rink, right?
Mostly Frogger.
So there,
I still can't play Frogger if I'm not wearing roller skates. True.
Try playing Spy Hunter with roller skates because you have the acceleration
pedal. Oh, my God.
But anyway, my thought is, I think we need to do like a movie, and you're going to tangentially relate these movies to video games somehow. You could do it.
I guess.
All right. So please.
This movie came out in 1983, which is also the year that Blank came out. There, tie in. And Kevin Bacon. The end.
There you go. Please. I just committed all of us to a 16th year of Orange Lounge Radio. Look at that. Check that out in 2018.
Girl, you can do the segment.
All right. Is that a challenge? All right. Moving on. Maybe a YouTube.
Bitch, it might be.
Wait. So not to get too tangential, but we're running a little early tonight, so I can do a few tangents.
Us never.
What if, and what would the listeners think about this? What if it was like a YouTube spinoff of OLR to do like a classic movie of Yes. YouTube's where it's at now.
Okay, but we have to have like snarky videos and bad animation.
We can probably have all of that.
Okay.
We could do a classic movie of the
I could actually just finally sit down and learn iMovie.
There you go. Now we're talking. Okay, there you go. See, some of the folks in chat are SSU100 Matt says yes. Dr. C says sure. JD says, actually, Rob talking about movies would be a super interesting segment since he knows his cult movies. Well, thank you. Yeah, I know a thing or two about cult movies. And
maybe that should just be our thing. Like, this is what we remember about these shitty movies.
Do I want to talk about this on air? ...
Okay. Do it.
So, y'all know I am involved with Rocky Horror Picture Show here in Sacramento, right?
No.
Right. You guys know about that. And the guy who puts it on has a whole like organization of events that he does. And one of the things that he does is a thing called Sinister Creature Con. So last year at Sinister Creature Con, he let me moderate the panel. It's one of the highlights of my life, really, that had Patricia Quinn, Nell Campbell, and Barry Bostwick, who played Magenta, Columbia, and Brad in the movie. I got to do that panel. So it was really cool. Like me and these like three legit movie stars like on the panel. It was awesome.
And she was Magenta on stage.
She was. And she was Columbia on stage. So guess who one of his big lands is for this October's Sinister Creature Con in
Tim
Sacramento?
Curry.
No, God, I wish. It has nothing to do with Rocky Horror, but everything to do with cult movies and video games. There's a reason I'm bringing this up on OLR.
What's his face from The Last Starfighter?
No. Uwe Boll is going to be there.
Oh, my God.
So I'm thinking about, do I need to phone in a favor and ask to do that panel? Like, do I want to do that panel? Do I not want
to
do that panel?
He's out of the movie industry now. I forget what
he does.
He's doing something else now.
He is.
Was it like restaurant?
Thank God. He's doing
something.
So it's something.
How many explosions are in his restaurant?
The reason why I bring that up is that if we do this whole YouTube thing, maybe we could get some interviews and talk to some of these cult people. So that could be a something. Something thing that comes up anyway. SG100 Matt says, bring on a special guest like Travis. If I can get him out of the retirement home, sure, I'd love to have him on. let's see. William Murdovey says there should be a whole episode dedicated to Rocky Horror. I could probably fill a whole episode with Rocky Horror. So there you go. We'll see. Anyway, I probably shouldn't have blurted that out on air because that's still all under development. But it is something I'm trying to be a part of later this year. Because I think it would be fun, if nothing else. Right, Loki? It would be fun.
I've already interviewed Uwe Boll once.
For what?
It was for Tunnel Rats. It was a movie it was kind of a reverse. He was making a movie that they're going to be making a game off of. So we did a phone interview with him at my previous job. He's all right. I don't know. We didn't learn too much from... I mean...
Despite his reputation, I bet he's actually a pretty normal person.
He's just... Yeah, just a person. I mean, yeah. Whatever. He exploited exploited German tax laws to make movies and make money. Just like Adam Sandler exploits whatever to, you know, make movies with his friends so his friends get a constant paycheck and he can go vacation with them.
Didn't they say those movies are like the most watched thing on
Netflix?
Yeah,
they make
a ton
of money and they like stealthily get onto Netflix. And it's funny, but
who's fucking watching it? Knock it off.
Bored people.
They're, you know what? I mean, honestly, though,
more
like
power to him, I guess.
It's seriously, like, look at this guy. I mean, he's supported his friend, like his best friends. I mean, if I could be get paid, in fact, we had talked about this like a long time ago, like with, you know, Eric and stuff. Like, if we get paid lots of money to make really shitty movies and just dumb movies that we find funny, and just do that with our friends and get to go vacation places and buy cars for ourselves, fuck yeah! Why wouldn't I do that? I would totally do that.
So, Loki, I don't know if you've heard, but there's a website out there called YouTube. And you can make dumb shit and put it on YouTube, and you put these ads in front of it, and you make money.
Yeah, but I haven't heard that they don't put ads in front of controversial stuff now. Remember, YouTube's become quite the shit right now.
That's like legit, like fucking hate speech stuff. I don't think your movies would
constitute. No, it's everything because, you know, YouTube is run by a trained professional team of computer animated bots that don't actually, you know, have any sort of soul. They just basically go out there and go, yeah, I think this is this, but we're going to hopefully that's correct.
The LGBT community had a huge problem with the whole, like, a bunch of LGBT, like, coming out videos are being labeled restricted as adult content, and it, like, they're actually not, it's not, they're not talking about anything adult. They're talking about experiences that sometimes help other people and so forth. So
advertisers, they don't like that.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, we've gone down too many tangents. It's time to pull the train back into the station and talk about, hey, something else that you might be streaming on YouTube or on Twitch or one of those. Persona 5, remember, there were some pretty strict guidelines that came out for Persona 5. Well, shock
unenforceable and, guidelines.
Shock and awe, Atlus has revised those guidelines. That's right. The guidelines have been, changed a little bit. The new guideline is that you can do video up to the in-game date of 11/19. That's before the game gears up for the final act. Now, they also, as a part of this, I'm going to read this verbatim here. We also want to apologize to those of you who saw the previous guidelines blog post as threatening. We wanted to be transparent about what we do, and the reason we released the guidelines was to give streamers the right information up front. It was never our intention to threaten people with copyright strikes, but we clearly chose the wrong tone for how to communicate this.
Because you said you threatened them with a copyright strike.
Yeah.
Because you literally did that. It wasn't the tone. It was you literally came out and said, if you do this, we're going to strike your channel.
Now, the interesting thing is they haven't said they're not going to do that. But at the same time, have we heard of anybody actually getting copyright strikes from this? Because I have a friend who put his entire playthrough of the game on YouTube in like 53 segments or something like that. Haven't heard if there's been any problems yet. I mean, granted, he's not a streamer, but still.
I get it. You don't want your game story ruined, but you have no control over that. You don't. You can't. You can't say it's okay to put part of the game on there. I don't think it's even enforceable the way you can do that, especially if they're commenting over it and there's like actual transformative work being done to it. You can't do it.
I do think, I realize this is a complicated issue. It's not easily going to be solved. I do think there should be revenue sharing available. I do think that Atlus should be able to share in what, especially when there is no commentary or nothing else going on, Atlus does deserve.
No.
But when there's commentary and stuff, I do believe Atlus, as they've made the game, they should be entitled to some of the revenue. But that I don't think they should get to dictate
now,
the whole, you do this, but not that. And this
they already thing. Get some of the revenue when I purchase their fucking game. No, seriously, they're not entitled to any of that. And you know why? Because Nintendo does this shit. Nintendo monetizes every single video out there
via robots,
unless you just, you know, join up in their special club where they get most of the profits anyways.
That's still a thing. Oh, I didn't know.
So I mean, I'm sorry, we've already seen how back-asswards that shit is. I do not want more companies jumping on board with that.
All right, we need to get on to some more stories. We will be taking your calls at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype in a little while, but first, Dark Sakura was something a little different.
Yes. Well, this has been, Call of Duty isn't necessarily like my favorite ever game, but they're doing a World War II campaign that has a multiplayer mode that lets you play as female combatants. And it's funny because I've seen some people get kind of fussy about it. Like, they'll, like we were actually commenting on before the show, there'll be people who are cool with having, you know, Nazi zombies, but get all fussy about women in combat. But even back then, I mean, now the U.S. was definitely a lot more stuffy about it, but there were women combatants in World War II. There were, in fact, a very famous group of Russian snipers who were actually had some of the highest kill counts of any of the combatants. There were also people in the Air Force. There were plenty of American women were also involved in aircraft, in transport. A good number of Canadian too. We had transport vehicle drivers, and not just in, you know, working in, like, you know, canteens or as a cook or as a, you know, clerk, but women who were very, very important to the whole war effort during World War II, just all over the world. So I think it's not too far-fetched to have female combatants in a World War II era game. So
why not? Sure. I mean, I think this is, you know, as much as we've made a lot of strides in the past 10 years to try to bring more representation in games, I mean, Call of Duty definitely has that label as a brotastic type of video game. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really cool that they're bringing in, you know, a way for more women to get into Call of Duty by playing something that can represent themselves a little more. Well,
did you know that even Queen Elizabeth II was enlisted in 1945?
That doesn't surprise me, considering her family is kind of always in, like, I know, like, William and Harry were in the military and all that. So, you know, that family kind of has a military history to them. So,
and see, what I would like to see is if they were going to do, like, a World War II era game, I would want to do something where someone fights as, like, a resistance member.
You would be very proud of our chatters right now, by the way, because, like, they are saying things, like, just as you're about to say them. Lady JJ just pointed out the Queen Elizabeth II thing. SG-100 Matt talked about the Russian snipers thing. And so it's funny that, like, they're naming stuff right. You'd be
hey,
very
Lady
proud
JJ, I'm glad you can make it in.
You'd be very proud of our listeners tonight.
But, I mean, and even there were, of course, I learned a lot more, you know, studying the effects of the Holocaust. There was a Jewish resistance leader named Hannah Senesch, who she airdropped several times into Germany to spread propaganda and to help the resistance, and ended up being tortured and murdered by the Nazis. You know, plenty of women who, you know,
there's a lot of women involved, but planes, like, usually, like, the flights and the plane stuff, like, a lot of women got involved in that.
Or even performers. There were plenty of performers who would, sure, you know, pass notes and get information from people. But the whole thing is that don't just look at a historical war through a patriarchal lens. I mean, and I'm not meaning to use, like, buzz feminist words, you know, whatever. It's truly clouded by a lot of male-centric discussion. Don't discount that women played their part in war, or that we still play a part in war. Was it like 6 years ago, the Air Force passed their first female sniper through their sniper academy? It's just, don't discount it. You know, if you say, oh, well, so-and-so was never in the war, there were women who fought in the American Civil War on both sides who would, in some cases, quite literally cross-dressed to be in the army or be in whichever militia. It's been going on for years. There's even, like, French nobles who were absolutely famous for women who adopted men's dress.
Well, Mulan. I couldn't help it. I'm sorry.
Well,
I'm here
even,
to make jokes.
Even Joan of Arc.
Yeah, sure, of course.
She was burned not just for, you know, being in resistance to England's armies, but she was actually more burned as a heretic for refusing to wear women's clothing because she was female. So I'm just saying, if you have an argument about a game because of some preconceived notion, actually take some time and study the fucking history. The end. Okay.
This week on Jamie Takes on Video Games. I think it's
I'm a big history nerd too.
I do not disagree with what you're saying, and I think it's really cool that video games are like reflecting, you know, the more diversities of how World War II affected everybody. You know what I mean?
So. Exactly. I mean, it was a world war for a reason, and you know, history is kind of repeating itself. So keep your eyes open.
All right. Let's move on. Just a few more stories for you guys, and then the Skype line. But first,
if I may say, SSU 100 Matt said, thankfully our listener group doesn't think that way. And yes, bless you all. Bless you all. I love you all. Doesn't think in the terms
of... But there might be somebody new to the show who might be like, oh, I didn't think about it that way before.
Well, then good. I hope to open some eyes.
Exactly. That's all it is. Just think a little different.
Bend over and take it.
Jamie.
Oh, come on. You know it's me.
All right. Moving on. A few more stories for you guys. Loki.
So not too long ago, GTA 5, you know, had this whole stunt racing and stuff that they kind of added to the game that really, I thought, made the racing really better, you know, with all these loops and ramps and crazy shit. So it's only appropriate that Forza Horizon 3 has Hot Wheel DLC coming with all the fucking loops and shit that you would find in the orange track to bear, and it looks fantastic. I mean, it just looks seriously cool from the trailer that I saw.
You like this kind of over the top shit, though. I'm all on board for this too.
Yeah, it looks great. I mean, the game, I mean, itself was pretty good, but now
you know what it reminds me of? Hard Driving. You remember that game?
Yeah,
I used to take a nap in that.
Yeah. It was a giant cabinet, right? And it was like the early days of, and I'm using my quotey fingers, virtual reality type.
Yeah, like was it Test Drive 3?
Horrific polygons. Yeah. But like Hard Driving was like that first game where you had like the ramp and you had like a loop. Yeah, all this crazy shit. And that now it's like, oh, that it's like making that on hardware in 2017. Pretty cool.
It looks cool, though. Seriously, it's going to be $20. The expansion by itself is $20. Or if you bought the game's expansion pass, which is $35, you get that for free as well. It's coming out May 9th on Xbox One. I'm assuming PC since it's a Windows 10 game.
Yes.
But yeah, definitely check that out. It looks really cool.
All right. Well, one more story for you guys before we open up the Skype line. And that has to do with... Hey, guess what? Sometimes people online who, you know, when they do, we hear about these websites getting hit with DDoS attacks and stuff. We're wondering, when are some of these people going to go to jail for breaking the law? And guess what? Somebody's finally going to jail for some of this shit. So it was the Central Criminal Court of England and Wales who found 20-year-old Adam Mudd guilty of creating a malware program that did distributed denial of service or DDoS attacks on computer network. Apparently, it has caused 1.7 million cyber attacks since 2013. The malware was sold under a pseudonym and apparently made $400,000 from 112,000 registered users. Let's see. Apparently, there's gaming companies that have been attacked like Xbox Live, Minecraft, and the MMORPG RuneScape. The DDoS would overload the company's networks with too much data, and that would interrupt the connection to the internet, and then they're unable to process the user request. And I think we all remember when Xbox Live and I think PlayStation Network got shut. I'm not saying that that is the same program that shut these things down, but we all remember when that happened on Christmas, right? Didn't PlayStation Network go down like on Christmas? It was really fucking rude, whatever it was they did. So there we go. The judge wanted to make this sentence a strong deterrent to future cyber criminals and sentence Mudd to 2 years of jail, and that will be served in a young offenders institution because I guess 20 is still a young offender over there. Whereas here, that would you'd be in prison Orange is the New Black style. No juvie hall over 18, so but I guess it's a little different over there, so there you go. Somebody finally going to jail for DDoSing. So there you go. All right. Wasn't that a prediction on not this year, probably last year, but I think I said one of them would get the death penalty. I think that was 2016.
I think that's a bit much.
just chop off their fingers.
I still could have gotten a half point. All right. Hey, guess what, guys? Skype line is open. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. And if you want to do it the old-fashioned way, 1-877-GAME-OLR. And guess what? Our phone is ringing, but we will catch up with Loki on some last-minute stories in a moment. But first, hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on? It's Ranma.
Hey, Ranma, how you doing?
Pretty good. I just got in from another convention about a good hour and a half ago.
I know. I saw the picture. You were hanging out with your posse from Anime Jam Session, and I saw John from Critical Myth in those pictures.
Yep.
So you guys had a good old time. Hello, hello, and I hope you had fun.
It was so much fun that I would say this. Next year, y'all got to come out for this convention. That's how much fun, how great it is.
Which con is it?
Zenkai Con. It's right in Lancaster County.
I've heard of that before. But, you know, realistically, I don't know if it would be in the budget for me to do another East Coast con. I'd have to choose between that and MAGFest, and, well, hate to break it to you, buddy, but you know MAGFest's going to win that one.
You're coming with me to DragCon next year anyway.
That's true. It sucks. When I switched jobs, I lost 10 days of work off a year. I went from 25 days off to 15, so it's like I really have to pick and choose my cons now.
Well, we could always do this. You could always do MAGFest. You could crash at Mako-chan's place until the con. You just work remotely.
If I wasn't a corporate trainer who needed to be in a classroom all day, I would consider that.
Video technology, my friend.
I'll tell you what. When I'm a famous YouTuber, I'll go to all the cons. When I can quit my job and be
like
a famous YouTuber.
Sounds like a plan, my friend.
Well, no, I'm really glad you had a good time at the con, though. What was there any type of like gaming stuff at the con, or was it mostly anime?
It was a mix of everything, and what I'm starting to see now, Bimani is coming back.
You know, I don't know if you were here at the beginning of the show, but somebody made a comment at the beginning of the show, and I kind of mentioned that like I kind of felt DDR was going through a renaissance, but I really should have clarified that saying Bimani is going through a renaissance, because definitely things like U-Beat is like at conventions. There's always a fucking line to play U-Beat, whether it's Dragon Con or MAGFest or wherever I'm at that has those machines. And then Sound Voltex is doing very well, it seems, as well. So it really isn't just DDR, but that's just kind of like the grandpa of those games.
True, true, true.
So, but those games having a great presence at Zenkai Con, it sounds like?
A small presence because the game room wasn't that big, but what I'm seeing in general over the last year and a half, big or small, the dance rhythm games are coming back pretty strong.
Oh, that's great. I know, speaking of all the dance game stuff, been following, you guys probably know Kyle Ward, who was on this show. Oh, God, it was probably a couple of years ago at this point. But, you know, at the time we were talking about some of the stuff he's been doing with the cell phone games. Well, now I'm seeing a lot of activity now with his, what did they end up calling the machine? It's like Step Maniacs, right? That's the name of it.
Yeah.
It's like Step Mania, but with an X. So, like, and it seems like this is, you know, a lot of people are really, really anticipating this game, this Step Maniacs game. And, you know, I remember playing it at MAGFest, and it really looks like it's coming together. And I love the idea of the main screen being a touch screen. And then there's not just that, but fucking I didn't even know this was out on iPhones now, but Neon FM is fucking out on handhelds, and it syncs up with the arcade versions. I didn't know that was
cool.
A thing now. I remember talking about Neon FM fucking like 2005, like in the early days of OLR. This is crazy, but in a good way.
Sure enough. But Rob, you want to know something?
Huh?
That's not why I called in.
Oh, that's all right. Well, why did you call in?
I wanted to talk to you about your thoughts. I heard what you had to say about Project Scorpio, and you know what? I hear what you're saying. I get it. It's like when you have a basic PC to do stuff, and then you got the basic PC to do stuff, play games, do all this stuff, and you're happy. Then you got the Uber PC that does everything and much, much more.
Right.
The PS4 Pro, Project Scorpio, I don't want to use the word lazy, but I'm going to use the word lazy. It's a lazy way of getting like a high-end gaming PC or a gaming console. It's like, you know, I just think like these two consoles are a way to fight back at the quote-unquote master race of PC gaming.
I sort of get that. I mean, I get the whole like it's for people who don't necessarily have an Uber end PC. But and again, I'm not saying that like, oh, I'm not getting one and my mind's made up. I'm waiting to hear that out of E3. But that's really what I'm saying, is that That's what Microsoft needs to convince me at E3, or if not me, if you're, you know, what you're saying is really, you know, the case where it's like, no, this system is not for me, it's for these other people. Okay, then really, what is that compelling case why people need to spend the extra money on this system? You know, what are the games going to be like? What's Scorpio going to lend itself to with that? And, you know, what are, mm-hmm. what are those experiences going to be that's make it makes it a little worth it? Because in some regards, I think Sony is kind of has kind of peed in the pool a little bit. Because right. I don't think the PlayStation 4 has Pro has really pushed things forward immensely in that regard. And now that's kind of what's stuck in our heads. And I realize Microsoft had nothing to do with that. But I can't help but feel like PlayStation has kind of like already kind of screwed it up, if that makes sense.
It does. I kind of see it this way. I mean, looking at the specs between both consoles, I mean, like, I kind of feel that Sony is kind of banking on the name PlayStation to push the Pro, whereas not everybody knows the Microsoft brand per se. They know it, but it's like when it comes to gaming, 9 times out of 10, especially in the circles I roll with, more people are more opt to go towards the PS4 because of the games, even though the Xbox has the hardware processing power. Now, with Scorpio comes out, if the price is right and they can get these companies behind them with all these amazing games, then we're going to be good. Now, if they start doing exclusive PS4 Pro and Scorpio games, that's where we're going to have a problem.
Yeah.
But they need to keep it at, keep the game optimized for PS4, so that way you can play it on either or. You can see the power and the graphical difference between both of those consoles and say they're the Xbox One. And I will say this now, and I'm not saying this as an Xbox fanboy, but you get that one game for both consoles, and you optimize it for their Pro systems, I hate to break it to you, but it's going on Scorpio, it's going to blow it out of the water compared to the PS4, only because of the hardware that's underneath it.
Well, I have to ask this, because you made me think about something I've been reading a lot about today. And again, it's in the rumor camp very firmly, right. But there's rumors out there that PlayStation 5 is going to be 2018, which seems really early, but then the way this kind of broke it down is that there were 6 years between PS1 and 2, 6 years mm-hmm. between 2 and 3, mm-hmm. 7 years between 3 and 4,
mm-hmm.
but 3 needed time to kind of catch on, right? 3 needed the extra right. year to catch up.
Right.
And then this will be 5 years if it comes out in 2018. So it's not that far off, but I can't help but feel like
I still think it's pretty early into the consoles.
No, right? Look, let me tell you. If they do announce a PS5 between now and December 2018, I'll say it, Sony's lost. They're playing a catch-up game. They're starting to realize we may have fucked up with the 4, so we got to catch up. There is no reason to release a newer console at that time, you know? The most they could probably do is up the processor and up the chip, I mean the graphics chip. And at that point, the games will probably look still one and the same.
I'm not sure I totally agree with you on that, Rama,
okay.
because Sony is, you know, still selling very well. I don't think there's really an oh shit moment, but I think if there's anything oh shit in this, it's that, oh, Microsoft is going to whip out the teraflops with Scorpio, so we need to put out PlayStation 5 to basically match Scorpio.
And if they do that, what was the point of the PS4 Pro in the first place?
And that's where I agree with you.
Yeah. In that case, if that's what they're going to do, the original PS4 is going to get phased out, and they're going to relabel the Pro as the 4. Remember, I mean, if you look at what Sony has done with their hardware, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they do this.
I mean, we'll see. Again.
Yeah.
It's a little tinfoil hat-ish, this PlayStation 5 stuff. I still feel like there's a long life left for PlayStation 4, especially if 5 is backwards compatible with PlayStation 4, and that's the other way I could see them doing it, is if 4 is 100% backwards compatible with 5, then
so
they can sign.
So 5 is really the Pro, the Pro Plus?
What's going to end up happening is the Pro is going to be a wash. Or what Rama's saying is that Pro is now the 4. And that just kind of will happen quietly, but the only real advantages are the 4K things that, again, I think are really subtle. But anyway, yeah, I think we're getting ahead of ourselves. I mean, we're trying to forecast 2018, and we haven't even hit 2017's E3 yet to really truly know what Scorpio is.
Yeah, and speaking of E3, yeah, go on.
No, go ahead.
I was saying, speaking of E3 2017, is it wrong of me to be smirky at some of my friends who are excited about going to E3 for the very first time?
Eh, don't shit on their parade. Let
them I don't say it. I just keep it to myself because I know people who are going to a con I'm going to, and then they're flying out for E3, and I'm just like, well, I guess you'll have to discover how it really is, you know? Because I just go back from what OLR and what y'all tell me about E3, and I'm just like, you know what? There's no reason for me to go.
To be fair, the ESA knows they've opened it up to the public essentially this year. I think the show will look different from the same show that Darkstalker, myself, and Loki have attended in the past. And for those reasons, those people may have a very different experience than what our experience has been with E3. Only time will tell.
True that.
So, all right. Well, Rama, I'm going to let you go to try to squeeze in another call or two, and then we're going to wrap up. But thanks so much for your call, buddy. I appreciate it.
Ain't no problem, dude.
All right. Later.
Later.
All right, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, if you want to give us a call. Meanwhile, Loki, did you have any last-minute stories you want to get out there? Or Darkstalker, if you have anything.
Yeah, I was going to mention that the PlayStation 4 has hit 60 million units sold. That was 20 million of which were last year. Also, the PlayStation 3 is closing in on 80 million sold.
That means the 4 is probably going to sell more in its lifeline than the 3 did.
Yeah.
When all is said and done, because keep in mind, even if they do announce the PlayStation 5 in 2018, that's still another like 2 years of PS4 sales, and it's still sell fours as a quote unquote budget. I can't believe I'm talking this far ahead, but this is what happens: they'll still sell the fours as a quote unquote budget console for a good first 2 years of the 5's life.
Yeah, so it'll be nice when PlayStation 5 comes out and my fucking PlayStation VR doesn't work with it.
Well, hold on. We don't know anything about that yet. All right, last chance to get in, you guys. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, if you want to call
it. It had a nice run all one or two years. Not even this point.
E3's coming. You don't know what they're going to announce. We never got that Final Fantasy 15 experience yet on VR. It just feels like there's things
still
coming.
Still haven't finished that game either.
I need to do the Gladio DLC. I still haven't got around to it.
And I still haven't played through Zelda either.
Time to get caught up. All right. Any other last minute stories you want to mention, Logie?
That's it.
I have an announcement.
Yes.
I want pie.
Oh, that's a great announcement. Thank you, Darkstalker.
That's a great announcement. I think that I should have pie.
You should, if pie is what you want, pie is what you should get. You should get a pie shake. There's a cafe near my work that makes pie shakes.
Pie shakes.
Yeah, that's what they do. They blend up a piece of pie and make it as a shake.
Does my pie shake bring all the boys to the... No, they need to get out of my yard unless they're going to do the yard work.
All right. Well, it's being quiet on our phone line, so I guess that is going to be it. So we're going to shut it down on the Skype line. If you want to send us your thoughts after the show, participate at orangelaundradio.com, or you can always tweet us as well, twitter.com/OLR. But that is going to wrap us up for another night here at Orange Lounge Radio. But we couldn't say goodnight until I plug quickly nice reviews on iTunes, just like I did earlier. So I'll make it quick. A nice 5-star review goes a long way. You know, if you liked what you heard here at OLR, we don't take your money for doing the show. Just help us spread the word. Word of mouth is a great thing. We had some new people tuning in tonight, thanks to our interview. So thanks to Zircon for being here, first and foremost. And thanks to those of you guys that stopped and checked out OLR, thanks to that. Or just because maybe when you saw the tweets at OC Remix or something, you were like, that show's still fucking on? And you checked us out. I get once every other month or so, I get a tweet that's like, you guys are still going? yeah, we're here. So anyway, thank you. Whether it's your first show or your 600th show, we appreciate it all the same. Thanks for being here. We got to go around and get everybody's final thought for the night. I'll start and I'll just say I am ready to be 100% done with this sickness, because although I do feel a lot better, certainly better than I did last Sunday, I would still say I'm only like 96%. I want to be 100% over this damn cold. Done. And I don't like the pills I take because they make my head feel like it's on fire. I don't like feeling like I'm on fire. Darkstalker, your final thought for the night.
I hate allergies. Hate. With every fiber of my being.
Aww.
But on the plus side. No, there's no plus side to it. I hate it.
All right. And last but not least, Loki, your final thought.
My final thought is that I was going to 3D print something larger. Like, they have this like switch holder thing that you can get that you can plug in the two switch halves into. That's a little bit different. I was going to print that for you, but it didn't want to slice it today, so I couldn't even try to print it.
Is that printer working well for you, though?
It's working okay. I'm just I have already broken the hotbed on it because I tore up a piece of the cover that was on there, so I need to put something else on it. Right now I've taped over it. But I was in the process of putting a part cooling fan on there, so I finally printed the shroud for it. So I just have to wire that up and then get the auto leveling working. I have to reflash the firmware and stuff. So I just haven't gotten around to it because I had been playing with that printer for about like 4 of the 5 days during the week, and I was like, okay, I got to take a break from it.
When you get a 3D print, me, I want Rob Roberts action figures.
I'd have to get a 3D model of you to do that.
All right. Awesome.
And then, I mean, then we can do it.
A mini me.
I mean, I think they have phone apps that sort of do 3D models, like with multiple stuff. So we can try.
Awesome. We're going to clone me on a 3D printer. That'd be awesome. All right. Anyway, that's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will be back next week to do it all over again. Until then, have a great week and happy gaming. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.